You are about to enter the X-Files Diaries. Broadcasting from an American nuclear submarine stuck in the ice near Alaska. Here are special agents Charlie, Nick, and Annie.
The X-Files are back on TV, and all is right with the world. We are wow. Certainly happy, right?
You are certainly sweeping a lot of things under the rug.
Well, you know, when you have good TV on, not much else matters.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Fine. That's what TV is all about, Charlie. You could sink yourself in good TV and let the world's troubles float away.
Slip away.
For an hour or two, and we will. Obviously, we're here to let you know our thoughts on the return of the X-Files revival season 10. First two episodes have aired, so just to let you know a little bit about what we're doing tonight, we're going to come to you with our commentary on each individual episode. It's kind of have a two part podcast here. We're going to take it episode by episode, but of course there'll be some bleed over thoughts and theories and comments and concerns as we go along, and we have a couple fun segments for you towards the end of the podcast as well. So guys, I guess
up top we should talk about the fact that if for some strange reason you're listening to this podcast but didn't watch the first two episodes of season 10, then this entire thing is going to be spoilery. So I don't understand why you're doing it.
Well, that's a good warning, because we did have two episodes that had nothing to do with you know, specifically this season. So that is a good warning. Yes, this is our first.
Yes, and
actual...
also I think a lot of people, not huge fans, obviously, but missed like the first episode because the football game ran over and messed everybody's DVR up.
That was ridiculous.
But it was on Hulu the next day, right as rain. It was awesome.
That's true. So there's no excuse.
It was. It was on Fox Zap too. So they had it on there for the TV. So that was all good. But what was weird is it wasn't like on demand. I couldn't find it like on Fox Demand, which is I don't still understand what goes on demand and everything. Anyway, but apparently enough people found it. It had some amazing ratings. It killed Sunday night and Monday night. And Anne, you have those numbers in front of you?
Yeah. Thanks to the football lead-in, even though it was a terrible, terrible game, and we aren't going to discuss that. on Sunday night, it had 13.5 million viewers, which is pretty impressive, especially for that kind of early-ish time slot. And then, you know, they ran the next episode the night after, and I don't think people, you know, knew how that was going to go, but the ratings remained enormous, 9.7 million viewers, and it beat all the other shows that night, so it won its time slot. Monday night.
People want to see the X-Files.
This bodes well for more episodes, in my opinion, already.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I still, and this is, I guess, something we could explore as we go on here, I don't really understand, like, it almost feels to me like, when episode 6 comes around, they're really going to wrap things up and close things up kind of nicely, at least, as far as this 6 episode run goes.
I don't think they will.
You don't?
I think that they will. I feel like this is totally, nobody really cared about those last two seasons. We have an opportunity to actually do something. Let's wrap this up. Let's make it right. Let's do hardcore, perfect season, and then be done with it.
I completely disagree, and that's because I've read interviews with Chris Carter saying he wants to do more. That's the only thing that keeps keeping me from believing that makes me think he's already left it open-ended.
Well, that'd be cool. I wouldn't mind a little 6 episode thingy every year.
No, me either. And I think clearly the audience is back. Fox is going to want it. Obviously Chris Carter wants it, so I think it is going to be up to David and Jillian if they are able to do it.
And now that Jillian's getting paid as much as David, okay with that.
That
right?
was ridiculous.
I don't even want to talk about that. It makes me mad.
But David's already on another season, a series that's actively filming.
Right.
And
so is Jillian.
Yeah, she's all over the place. Mm-hmm. So
Aquarius is good, by the way. I like it.
I have not seen it. I know that's shocking, but I haven't.
It's good stuff.
But I've heard it's good.
All right, so let's dive into this. Let's start at the beginning, Mulder's little overview, the monologue at the beginning.
Oh, okay, okay.
First of all, we should say this episode was called My Struggle.
Yes, My Struggle. Whose struggle?
Everybody's
struggle. Oh, everybody. No, that's
I think everybody's struggle.
Right? It could apply to everybody.
Yeah.
Mulder's little monologue, his overview at the beginning, set everything up for us. Very weird. I just dying. Annie, mm-hmm. when I saw this at Comic-Con back last fall, I just wanted to ask you about this for so long. You finally saw it. And I just feel that, especially, and I texted you this. I was like, I'm so glad we did that kind of overview of the 9 seasons of The X-Files, because this intro kind of tells us about the 9 seasons of The X-Files, but I feel like having just kind of went over the refresher, it didn't really do it justice and maybe changed some things right off the bat. So what do you think right away of Mulder's monologue at the beginning of the show?
Well, from the way that you described it when you talked to me a few months ago, I thought it was going to be more involved. Pardon me, sorry. But I think they did a really good job giving anybody who has watched the show, that's all they really need to remember. It's kind of what I've always said. It's like everybody thinks the mythology is so complicated, but quite honestly, it really is a very simple story. You know,
well, at the moment, it is. I feel like the point of this season is that's all going to be flipped on its head.
But I don't see everybody saying that, and I don't necessarily think that's the case. And we can get into that when we get later into the mythology. Okay. But I really don't. It's not like I don't think they're retconning. Everyone keeps using the word they're retconning. I don't really think they're doing it. I think they're just kind of changing your perspective on what you saw. Yeah. Yes, there are a lot of specific scenarios which we could talk about, and you know we could talk about all night that seem to not apply. But still could, if you look at it in sort of a far-fetched
Wow, you're manner. Really trying to make this make sense. Look, I thoroughly enjoyed these first two episodes, but even I, after going over the 9 seasons with you, like, it just doesn't jive what they're trying to do here. I don't understand.
How so? Because we haven't seen any actual aliens other than what we think are aliens in the alien bounty hunters, which could be manipulated humans, and the rebel aliens whose faces are clawed off, so they could be humans too. Mm-hmm. They're just saying that it's an elaborate hoax. And second of all, we don't even really know if that's the case yet. This is just what Mulder thinks at the moment.
Well, that is true. And you know what's really funny is I was very, I was upset at that. And it didn't, the first time I watched it, I didn't even really catch up on that, catch as much stuff, especially because that was before we kind of did a little bit of a refresh and a primer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the second watch, I kind of caught some more things that just didn't quite jive. And maybe you can put them in perspective for me, and you're okay. Already starting to do that. And then in the second episode, he does mention the syndicate and the hybrids and everything,
yeah.
which calmed me down a little bit. It's like, okay.
Plus, Nick, it's important to remember when people get real worked up about this, that they're not saying that there are no aliens. That's not what they're saying.
Right.
No, they had
access to aliens. They had access to everything they needed to make everything happen. I wrote on my notes here, essentially, it's not the truth is out there. It's the truth was out there.
No. That's exactly what I just thought.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that I see as them rewriting is actually more of a sort of, hey, yes, that stuff happened. And then the colonists didn't actually colonize, and now the government is using all the alien information that they have to create a new conspiracy.
Exactly.
That doesn't actually have anything to do with aliens, except for the fact that that's where they're getting some of their technology from.
Right. And in a way, that's to me even more frightening because it's more plausible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the implications of this. Again, this is just me coming off of it 2 days later. I haven't really gone deep into the mythology to think, what, you know, like, that doesn't fit. That doesn't make sense, because I am certain that there are places in the show where it doesn't make sense. I'm not telling you that there aren't. No. I'm just saying it doesn't bother me in the way it seems to be bothering a lot of people, because I always assumed a lot of it was humans. Like, I had a huge discussion with my friend the other day. So the aliens took Samantha and then the humans got her. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that. And then we found out later that Scully really was just taken by men. That was stuff we always knew. And so this isn't like a huge revelation to me, at least.
Yeah. So. I think, I think even within this conversation, I've changed my idea. And the fact that, like, I think they're saying, I originally thought they were rewriting the beginning, kind of. But now I think that it's no, all the stuff that I think actually is happening could have happened after the beginning. And so then, then, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the next conspiracy.
Right.
It's not
right.
a reimagining right. of the original one.
I'm buying
I think
that.
It's Chris Carter's yeah. way of kind of wiping the slate clean and get, you know, it's a bit of a cheat, but it's kind of saying, look, we're going to go move forward with what we have here and focus on something else.
Well, yeah. It's,
and I'm fine with that. We're in a new time. We're in a new era.
And he had to. And he had to fit it into this era. And I like what I like about the opening is I kind of like that historical look at things, like the historical sightings and the presidential documents and things like that, and like kind of the real life things that they kind of pinpointed throughout the timeline there, which was yeah. which was pretty fun.
Oh yeah, and it's saying it was totally Mulder right off the top saying, "Look, this shit is real. You don't have to believe it, but I'm showing you. People think it's real. This stuff happened." You know?
Yeah.
What I liked about the intro, like the style of them doing it with the photographs and the badges and stuff, it just, to me, just that opening part felt very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go from that kind of into the really, really high-tech crash that looked awesome
it
for
did.
TV.
And didn't I tell you that this season seemed a lot more cinematic?
Yes. And you're right about this.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
right about that.
And I thought right off the bat it did. And I like it. I definitely like their approach mm-hmm. to it. The opening credits...
Yep, I loved it. You did tell me that they were the same. I mean, and everybody keeps saying they're exactly the same. They're exactly the same, except they added Skinner. That's
yeah, exactly, right. exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had Skinner at one point, so I mean, it's sort of like
right. He was in the last season, I believe. He was in season 9, mm-hmm. but yeah, that was with the fancy new credits that everybody.
Yeah,
had.
Yeah. No, totally. And so it's not technically it's not exactly the same, but
right.
realistically it is.
For the purpose of the fans, it's exactly the same.
Although, honestly, based on how much we actually see him, it doesn't seem to make sense that he's in the credits.
Yeah, I said the same thing to somebody the other day. I said, okay, well, so far, even through the first two episodes, I don't even really know if he's warranted being in the opening credits because yeah. he's not in it very much. I mean, I love Skinner, don't get me wrong, but I was kind of just like, he had a little bit more of a role in season 9. It made sense to put him in the credits.
Yep, yep.
Now it seems a little bit out of place. And again, I love Skinner, don't get me wrong, but it just seemed a little shoehorned in there.
Maybe it's like a legacy thing or
yeah.
like it's
poor Skinner. He didn't get a pay bump or a job bump in all this time. He's still assistant director, so let's just give him a credit.
But he did keep his job the entire time, which is interesting. And mm-hmm. I think he also out of the three, he's the only one that's kind of been there the whole time. I like that he is classic Skinner with some of the things he pulls, but like I feel like there may be more to his story. I think he's going to be key in at least one of the stories. He's
going to
be very key.
I
agree with that. Yeah, and I hope so.
Yeah, because he's going to have been there and
done that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, yeah, he's going to have a little more knowledge that Mulder and Scully are going to need somewhere
right.
throughout.
And it would be interesting to know what he's been doing this whole time, you know? Yeah.
Well, and that's how I feel about, I think we kind of get a sense of what Scully's been doing, but Mulder still just feels like he's just been running around. Is that what he's been doing? Like, I don't know. It feels like a long enough time to be like, oh, let's pin down some things that he's been doing.
Well, what do you think? Do you think we know that Scully has been at this hospital for 9 years? Seven, was it seven? Okay.
She told the lady seven in the second episode. Okay, I'm not doing the math, but I'm just going off what she said.
No, you're right. It may have been seven. And then obviously we've been away from these guys for 15 years. We don't know how long they were together before they separated, I don't think. I don't think that's
well. If we can assume the movie was in real time 2008, mm-hmm. then we know that where they were at that point. So
okay, yeah, that's true, and I think it just feels like Mulder was isolated, but not completely isolated. Like he knew technology enough. Like he wasn't like a you know. The technology wasn't completely foreign to him. He knew how to use technology and everything.
Are you talking about the second movie?
No, I'm talking in episodes 1 and 2 here.
Okay,
I mean, like,
sorry.
No, I mean, he knew he wasn't like this hermit that went away and wasn't, you know, was locked himself like Unabomber
style. See, I disagree. I think he is a hermit. I don't think he goes outside very often. Or at least he doesn't leave his house very often.
That's honestly my first and really only note about the second episode was, when did Mulder suddenly learn about computers? Because he's like, oh, it's hooked up to the mainframe that's not accessible from outside. And you're just like, okay, when did that come in, Mulder? What's going on?
You know, he's been Googling a lot at home.
We all know
everybody finds things out, you know, through Google. Or I should say Finder Spider.
Finder Spider.
Well, he was also fine with the iPhone. Like I feel like
no, he wasn't. No, they made a joke about that.
What do you mean? He picked it up. He did the lock, and he was.
He did. But as they walked out, she said, "Now we're talking about the second episode." But he walked out. She said, "Mulder, that's not your phone." He goes, "Yeah, I know. I like to kick it old school." He made a comment like that. Like he doesn't really quite get it. Like he knew how to use it, but he did make a comment kind of.
Okay, I guess that's true.
Okay, like, see, no, I took that comment more as a, yes, typically I carry the other thing, but he definitely knew what he was doing with that phone. So he's got the knowledge.
Right.
But yeah, that's.
Well, I feel like maybe he doesn't use new technology because it's too traceable for him.
That's true too.
I think he knows how to get around new technology, but he chooses maybe to live a little more disconnected. We don't really know. Like, do you feel like he lives a off the grid type lifestyle?
Yes. Yeah.
He's gonna have to. Yeah.
Find him. Scully even made the comment like, "I can barely find you."
Although it is interesting because he's not nearly as paranoid as Winger is.
You mean?
I'm calling him Jeff Winger.
Oh, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, who is Jeff Winger?
Oh, no idea what reference
the other show.
Community.
What show?
He's talking about Tad. Tad, right? O'Malley?
Right.
Okay. Let's say that's the name I want to say. Yes.
I don't watch Community.
He's one step away from a Fringe reference. Be careful.
Yeah, let's stop that. It's tracks.
But you know what? You're also right. I think, now that I love talking this out because now I get to talk about the details. This always happens to me when we talk about television shows. So like now I'm getting it. Like the reason he doesn't drive the entire time, he doesn't want to be registered. He probably doesn't have a license maybe, or doesn't want to be registered on the grid.
Yeah. So like
that's why he hitchhikes everywhere.
I think he's off the grid. Yeah.
Now, do you think he's actually hitchhiking or do you think he's doing something else?
No, but it's not Uber either because he doesn't have a phone.
I think that we don't know how he got there and it's not really important.
Is it the lone gunman?
Yeah, like some ghosts drove him.
Well, you never know.
Who knows?
Oh, boy.
Well, we'll get to that guy later.
All right, so a little bit about Scully. Where's she been? They hint towards their separation, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think drove them apart? What do you think it was?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. I think... Mulder fell into a depression, and that probably could mess with any relationship. They have had a lot to go through. The timing is odd to me because it seems like if we're to believe the timing, they were together fine for 7 years or however many years that was. And then after the following 5 years, they're apart. So the timing's a little strange, but I think, if somebody falls into a depression, it's pretty easy to give up. And I will bring that up later because that, trust me, that will come up later in some of their actions toward each other. But at the same time, Scully is very cordial and friendly to him.
Well, she mentions she very much still cares about him. You could tell. Like, she's very concerned about his health, his well-being, how he's doing. But yet, again, maybe another nod to him being off the grid, it doesn't feel like she has a direct way to keep in touch with him, right?
Yeah, I mean, she does seem to be able to call him pretty quickly, but I get the idea he changes his number a lot or something. Because that makes me, when she says, "I can barely get a hold of you," that makes me think that when he feels like it, he somehow communicates to her his new phone number.
Oh,
because she obviously knows where he lives. So it's not like she can't find him.
And he wants to see her. I mean, I think he actually said that or in one of their early conversations. He was...
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that later, but I think it's pretty clear that Mulder wants her back. I think it's pretty clear.
And I think there's... Do we want to talk about some of this stuff in the first episode right now?
Well, it's going to come up, so sure.
Okay, because I think two things. One is, does Scully go for Tad? Is that why she's in the limo drinking champagne?
I think she does.
I think she does, or I think she's at least curious.
She's flattered. Yeah. She's curious. She's alone.
She's certainly flattered. I mean, the look on her face when he says that was like, oh, man. I thought of Roger Rabbit, Lena Hyena going, oh, man. Like, that's kind of
I loved how she had blood dripping down her neck when she, like, you're asking me out, I'm all bloody and
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so then the flip side of that, I think when Scully shows up to Svetka's apartment, right, out of the blue, and Mulder's there, I think she thinks they're sleeping together.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not catch that until the second watch through. But she definitely had that sort of, now, I can't tell you whether or not he was, but she definitely had that, like, that CW thing.
No. There's no way he was.
No.
Way. He's not in any place to be doing anything.
But
like
she had that like CW reaction of, oh, this is why I wasn't invited, because you're sleeping with this woman instead of me. And then like turns around and walks away.
She definitely looked at the younger cute girl and was like,
I think that's part of it. I don't think that's anywhere near the majority of it. But yes, point taken.
So what are you saying?
What am I saying?
No, Charlie, are you connecting these two things?
No. Scully, I'm just saying that those were two interesting relationship notes, and I definitely didn't notice the Svetka thing until the second watch through, when I saw her walk away the second time, and I was like, oh, she's like jealous and kind of like angry about this because she thinks they're sleeping together. Like, it didn't even come across my head the first watch, but the second watch, I'm like, no, that's definitely what they're trying to say.
Yeah, it didn't come across my head either, because I was more thinking that she's just fed up with him in general and his craziness.
Yeah, but I definitely think this is there's a part of this in that also.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's an element of that. But again, I don't think it's front and center at this point, so...
So we brought him up. I love Ted O'Malley. I think
me too. I thought he did a great job.
He's a cool character. And you know what? I like the way they play it, because upon a couple watches, they're honestly not playing either the liberal or conservative angle up too much. You know what I mean? Like, I think anybody viewing it could view it any way they kind of want to.
I don't know about that.
You don't. Why do you disagree with that? I think if you
Mulder pulls up the thing, and the first thing Ted O'Malley says is, "They're coming for our guns." And he goes, "Why am I going to watch this asshole?" Like, so I immediately assume Mulder knows exactly what Tad's about and doesn't want anything to do with it. That's immediately what I assume. And then he makes the joke in the car about gun-toting liberal and. I don't know. I have a feeling that he's a little bit put off by that.
If you ignore the things that aren't aliens that Tad says, then yes, it's either way. But I think that there's still the things that are unrelated to the story, but are still things that come out of his mouth that lean him right.
For sure. Well, he's clearly supposed to be a right-wing host. Like, that's clear. Like, Mulder compares him to Bill O'Reilly, you guys. Come on. This is, like, obvious stuff.
He does, but a lot of the things that then Tad goes on to say later on or believe in are not the right-wing stuff.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's the case, but I'm not going to get into a political conversation with you.
No, I understand. Okay, well, I mean, Well, when I first saw the character, I thought they were just totally making fun of that stereotypical conservative talk show host. But I think that's probably why
Mulder is skeptical, because he probably shouldn't be believing
first,
his stuff.
By the end, I feel like they play both sides of the fence very well with that guy. And that's why I like him so much.
I guess my overarching comment on that is it doesn't really matter to the story. Okay. So
I just thought, I'm saying it was good writing, because they did a good job with that character.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he did come across that way. And I like the idea, too, that he was lucrative in his search for the truth. And Mulder's like, well, my search was not so lucrative.
So what do you think about one of Mulder's lines while they were in the car? Because I don't remember him. And maybe he did say this in the first 9 seasons. I really don't remember it. Because Tad said that, you know, I believe in all these things just like you. And Mulder was like, no, I only want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever actually say that before?
Well, Mulder's certainly gone up and down in his journey and in his faith and in his what he believes in.
So if, see, because I think you and I had this discussion like before when we were doing maybe even that first podcast that we did together, the X-Files podcast, the first episode of this. I think this came up, like the fact that, like, because I said, you know, at the end, does he, you know, believe or not? And I think you said, well, that kind of changes throughout the entire run of the show, yeah, doesn't it?
There's like, I mean, there's one major point where he loses his faith for several episodes. But then he gains it back, and then he, I think, with all the stuff that happens to his with his sister and all the stuff he finds out, I think he's just kind of, he's more grounded by the end. He's a little bit more grounded, and you can see even in the beginning of this episode that he's a little bit more grounded.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and then by the end of it, he's, you know, as Scully would say, on fire again.
Well, yeah, and honestly, at this point in this episode, I was wondering if he was still actively searching for truths. You know what I mean? Were you?
Yeah. I honestly, I can't even answer that question, like, for the life of me, because he seems so just exhausted. Like, even in the car with Tad talking to him, like, he doesn't seem very interested. He doesn't seem, you know, which I can just chalk up to him not liking the right wing talk show guy, but I could also chalk it up to he's just kind of given up.
Right. But then we learn that he has this informant that he's been talking to for a long time.
Right. But he's hit a dead end, clearly. It seems like his search for the truth has stalled. That's kind of how that's why when he gets this tiny little bite, he goes crazy.
Do you think he knows it's more than it is when he first explores this? Because, like, I can't tell. Like, it almost feels like later on in the episode, Dana is like, well, it seemed like you knew that it would lead this way, and that's why you wanted us to follow these threads. But, like, I didn't.
You mean,
up on
I think
that.
She says that in the second episode.
Yeah, that's the second episode.
Is that really the second episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. Okay. All right.
But it's, you know, either way, I mean, he's a complicated dude, and we don't know what's been going on the past few years, so I really can't, all I can do is speculate.
The one thing, I really did like this episode. The one thing that I don't necessarily understand is how, like, as Tad leads him, the big piece of evidence, I think, is the alien replica vehicle. Once he kind of gets him there, he kind of sees the technology and he starts to put the pieces together, right?
Right. Yeah.
How do you think Tad gets involved in that? Like,
well, he just made a comment. I remember, like, he's like, when you're in my position, you get interesting emails. Like, I remember he said something like that. And so maybe there's people working with the, what's the ship called? What's it?
ARV, what was the name? Alien Replica
ARV,
Vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody there wants to expose the truth.
Oh, you need to tell people about this, but we can't do it.
Yeah. So I mean, again, I can only speculate, but that makes sense to me. Okay. That's how he figured it out.
To me, the ARV was being looked at by scientists, but they had, like, stolen this one or something. Like, this, they weren't scientists working for the government on this. I felt like this was something that, like, this group of people had, like, kidnapped and were hiding from the government.
Oh, you think they can? I thought they built it.
No. I think the government built it and they got it somehow. And they've
The only way, the only reason I don't agree with that is that the government knew exactly where to go, exactly when they needed to go there. So they knew that ship was there. That's my opinion.
Okay.
The government, like, knew the ship existed? Oh, so you're saying that you think that is a government ship?
Yeah, because they came in and destroyed it, like, immediately. So if it was hidden in some facility, how would they know where it was to go destroy it?
I felt like there was a moment, though, where all the things that they had been looking at and doing were revealed to the government, and then the government came in and swept everything up.
Well, I don't see how the location of that ship would have been revealed to them. So I think they knew where it was.
Did Svetka know about it?
Not like Svetka knew about the ship.
Well, see, now this is we can start moving in. We're kind of jumping all over, but that's fine. We're kind of moving into the main thing about this show that bothered me about this episode that I think could have been a very simple fix is the moment near the end where Svetka goes on the news and says, I made up these stories and blah, 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 blah. We never saw her tell any stories on the news. So I was confused at, like, where is this suddenly coming from? Why does she have to come out and say anything?
Well, because she told her stories to Tad, and Tad is a... See, I got the impression that Tad already did his show or started to reveal this, and then she went on the air with this, so he had to recant. So I think...
I think that's probably what we're supposed to believe, but I feel like there should have been a scene with him talking about her specifically to make that clear. Because I was just like... Why suddenly now? Why is she being threatened now? What happened
to make this all fall into place? Tad was about, Tad said he was, the next day he was going to reveal it all on his show.
Yeah, but these people aren't mind readers. Like, how would they know? How did they know that he was about to say something? Like, it was just very strange.
They probably have a mole somewhere. And that's how they know to then... You know, that mole then also told them about the spaceship and everything, and that's why they did all those attacks at the same time.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying we can sit here and say that's probably how it happened, but it wasn't clear in the show, and so that kind of annoyed me. And just in a pure storytelling fashion, it just kind of annoyed me that it just suddenly was happening, and I'm like, okay, why is this happening? What happened to make this happen?
Yeah. To me, it's just the simple thing of he was about to do the show, and so they went to Svedka and they made her record this thing because that then became what his show was about, was dealing with the onset of this. And so the stories she was talking about were the stories that he was about to talk about on air, but then didn't get a chance to because the government sort of like made this other thing happen before he got a chance to do it.
I just
came up with a theory.
Yeah, go ahead.
His limo driver is the mole.
That could be a possibility.
There you go.
Well, I also feel that the government getting to Sveta wasn't that much of a stretch. I think they knew who she was, obviously. Right.
But it's the timing that's suspect to me. Do you understand? Like, it was she's been there, obviously, years and years and years and years. Why suddenly now, if we don't know anything about how they found out about Tad or... Unless, like you said, it's been clear that Tad has been saying this stuff for a while, so maybe they've been monitoring him, which is a good assumption. Like, that's kind of what you're saying, and I guess I can buy that. I just wish that they had made that a little bit more clear.
Well, he's also very wary about people spying on him, obviously. Right. That's one of the first time, that's when we first meet him.
Right. You know, that was actually a funny moment. I like how Scully and Mulder look at each other kind of like, wow, he's crazier than you, Mulder. Let's talk about that limo ride for a bit. And go ahead, Charlie, but then...
Because this does kind of go... I could also see a moment where all of this, that episode was engineered by somebody to get the X-Files reopened, to spark Mulder's crusade again. And so that's what the timing was it was all meant, it was all done specifically to get move Mulder's piece on the board to back into where it needed to be.
I would believe that. If Sveta wasn't like killed at the end, because it seems kind of like an unnecessary action.
No, they wanted, because then Mulder can't go back to her to do anything with her.
She can still reveal
the
truth.
She was the sacrificial lamb.
Because she was the key. She was the key to everything, right?
Oh, don't get me started on that.
You don't like Sveta being the key to everything?
No. Well, add it to the list. You know, they've said the key to everything like 18 times. So. Plus, it's like Mulder has met abductees before that were worked on by men who impregnated them and changed their DNA. Scully, hello. So it's like, why is meeting Sveta suddenly changing his entire philosophy on life? Like, this is just one more like the clunky things about the episode that kind of
No. That phrase is sort of like, I have a bad feeling about this in Star Wars. You know, it's just something they have to say every movie.
I guess it just, in this one, it just particularly grates on me a bit, but
yeah.
Well, do you think
that seems a little bit more of the, for the new viewers
I will give
season.
Them some levity with that.
Yeah.
Do you think Sveta actually had some kind of powers? Like, cause she seemed to feel something out with Dana. Okay.
Yes.
So you think the experiments gave her some kind of psychic power?
Certainly. I mean, we know Mulder can read minds.
Mm-hmm.
We know Gibson can read minds. I don't see why.
Yeah. I think that wasn't in question.
Plus, how would she know all that about Mulder and Scully? Like, I don't really think she would know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't, unlike some shows back, especially in the first couple of seasons, where the monster of the week, by the end of the episode, you still aren't sure what the right answer is, you know? You still are like, well, maybe it wasn't, you know? I think in this moment, it definitely was, especially in the rewatch, you totally see her, like, picking stuff up that, like Gibson does.
I have to say, I think that scene with her and Scully in the hospital, mm-hmm. was probably my favorite scene in this entire episode.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great scene. And I thought Gillian Anderson was brilliant.
I think so too. Well, it was like, you don't know how I feel. And she's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. That look was like perfect. It was and there was a lot in the, like, and I think that's actually where Gillian Anderson is so great in her acting, is the things that she doesn't say. And that scene was just a really, really good example of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, and now, though, it almost feels like a flip of what we just said, because with that look, anybody could have read her mind at that point. You know what I mean?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, even only someone like Sveta would immediately jump to, oh, well, maybe you were abducted, you know. And you could take that to mean, you could take that to mean she read the look or she read the mind, but she clearly read the mind with all the stuff.
No, I'm just playing devil's advocate at this point.
Yeah, that was a little too personal, and you could tell Scully was taken aback, which makes me think she really was thinking about that at that moment.
Yeah.
So, can we go back and talk about Tad a little bit, like the limo ride?
Yeah,
that's
a great ride.
Yes, he's sexy. Yeah. We get it. You want to see his shirt off? Okay.
No, I don't.
David or Tad?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. No, it was good. I mean, there were lots of good lines in there, lots of good looks, lots of good interaction between these guys.
Yeah. It was really good catch up in just a couple minutes of kind of, I mean, that whole scene of them on Mulder and Scully on the sidewalk and them in the limo, was a good sort of quick primer on what has gone down with them over the past few years. And, this actually leads into my shippy moment.
So what was it here?
I have to say, and it's a little bit anti-shippy, but I really, and it's also a little conspiracy-ish, but I want to hear what you guys think, because she said, they were talking, Tad's talking about the X-Files closing, and Scully goes, yeah, the X-Files have closed, and we've moved on with our lives for better or worse. And then it goes over to Mulder, and he kind of looks at her and goes, that's right, for better or worse. And he kind of gives her a look, and she kind of looks away. And immediately my brain was like, they were married.
Or
that was
married.
That was him guilting her or kind of making her feel bad for bailing on him when they had vows. That is how I read that.
Because why use
those words?
No, totally. No, and that's exactly what it is. I'm going to say that they didn't actually get married. There was a wedding day, and one of them didn't show up.
I don't know about that. This is, though, going
to
lead into my...
You don't have to know about that.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't like that either.
Thing.
No, that's your theory and your speculation, fantastic. It's not mine. I have a different speculation, and I'm going to talk about it later in the show.
Oh,
okay.
But that was my shippy moment of the week. Just the idea, the thought that they may have been married at some point.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think in some ways their fallout of their relationship is the same sort of thing that we get with, like, The Force Awakens.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to spoil too much about that if nobody's heard it, but it's sort of one of those things that you see a lot, where if you've got two people that you really want that spent the whole time trying to get together, and then you pick back up with them, you don't want them to already be together because you want them to come back together again.
Right.
Kind of. So,
right. I mean,
there's always something that happened, even though in most relationships, but in some relationships that isn't going to happen. But for, in terms of that, because they need to tell a story, they need to break them up so they can come back together again.
Right. And I mean, like I said before, I don't really have a problem with that. It does seem very true to the characters, very realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does put the tension back in the show, which is what made it so great. So we'll see what they do with it in the upcoming episodes.
What do you guys think about I should have had his name somewhere. I couldn't find it in my notes. The doctor from the Roswell crash that becomes the informant for
the Gibson lookalike? I don't know. I just called Bruno Gibson.
Oh, okay.
He just looks like Gibson. That- but
yeah, that
you know,
guy.
We know he's not, but he just looks like him.
That guy bothered the hell out of me. The whole
that actor?
No, not the actor, but his way of dealing with Mulder. It was so hilarious.
Yeah. You mean the older version
like,
of
him? Yeah, the older version of him. It was like he asked me yes or no questions, basically. And
you're
I'll
wasting my time.
Try to get you.
You're close. No, you're wasting my time. You're nearly there. No, he was so cryptic. He was one of these people I just wanted to smack around a little bit.
I didn't like that. Like, that didn't, I don't know. That.
Well, he's the he's the
supposed
deep
to be
throat.
Comedic.
He's
I know.
The, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the, he's the vague guy because I think that there's a lot of other things going on, and I don't. The question is, what is his motivation for not directly telling Mulder?
It was vague for the sense of being vague. It was
right.
Like,
right. Yeah, it seemed like, okay, dude, you're not a spring chicken. You're probably going to be dying soon. If it's so important for you to not take your secrets to the grave, why don't you just help him out a little bit here? Like,
yeah, especially if you are the stand-in for Deep Throat or Mr. X,
right.
You're definitely going to die.
You're like the least helpful informant yet.
Yeah, the dialogue was a little weird there. It was just overly, I don't know.
There was quite a bit of dialogue in this episode that I was not a fan of, but I think that's just Chris Carter. I don't think he's the greatest writer.
Yeah.
I love him, but I don't think he's the greatest writer.
I've had a lot of complaints I've read about that, I think. I think that's one of the biggest problems people have with this episode.
Agreed.
Is the dialogue. I'm sure that we'll find out that his response to that is something like, well, if I told you, you wouldn't have believed it. So you needed to find it out yourself.
I roll with it because I'm used to all of his, bless you, all of his writing being that way throughout the series. So, I mean, it was just something I'm used to.
Oh, it definitely felt like the rest of X-Files. And so
right.
In that case, you're like, well, what did you expect that to suddenly get super awesome? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it, you know, even X-Files at its best has its kind of cheesy, clunky dialogue. So I mean, that doesn't bother me very much.
Do you think this guy is actually? I just thought of this. Do you think this guy is actually the guy who did get the ball rolling on all this to get Mulder back involved and invigorated in this?
Maybe.
I don't know.
That
well,
would
if
be
he were, if he were though, wouldn't don't you think he'd try and be a little more helpful?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not ready to speculate on that yet.
Well, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, maybe it's that kind of thing. Where it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Well,
that's
if
true.
I just told you, you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, and then move on. But if you, like, fight for it, then suddenly you're, like, more, like, into it. And then when you get to the end, you're like, going to do something with it. As opposed
Charlie,
to be like, oh, yeah.
You've made us all wiser today. I like that. I do.
Well, I also feel that in a way, Mulder has to come to the truth himself because it has to be ironclad to him, and it has to come from an irrefutable source. Which the
and Scully has done that to him, you know, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
like he says that she kept him honest.
That's
she said
true.
That back in the movie,
that
and I like
true.
That. It's that he's remained true to that.
Yeah. So,
you want to talk about Sveta a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you guys think of her?
Little holy for me.
You don't like her scoop marks?
That was weird.
It really was.
They were fun looking.
I joked on Twitter. I was like, you're not supposed to have that many belly buttons.
It makes the tryptophilia? The tryptophiliacs go crazy. You know what that is, Nick?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I really liked her. I really liked her character. I enjoyed it. I thought she played it well. She was really believable as this kind of person who naively thought, you know, that she's been abducted by aliens. That's what she thought, mm-hmm. And that she, I guess at some point, and at some point, like I to me anyway, I feel like that's what she thought originally, and at some point she did realize that it was. Man, like, I don't feel like she knew that right away.
Well, the same thing happened with Scully, if you'll recall. She didn't really know what had happened to her until later when memories started to come back.
Yeah, because, right, exactly. That's, okay, for some reason I'm thinking that. I didn't realize, yeah, she did totally say that her memories weren't completely wiped. So
right.
She did start to realize it was man.
Yeah.
Doing it to her. And then I guess she went to Tad? I'm assuming, like, she wanted to tell her story, so she went to Tad?
Yeah, that's how I got it, because remember he said, like, my position gets
yeah.
me some interesting
yeah.
context.
What it makes sense to me, too, yeah.
Yeah, she went to him because maybe she wanted to tell someone her story, or I don't know. She thought he would believe her.
Right.
I mean, it seems to be she's just looking for somebody to believe her.
Now, with all that said, and maybe this was done and I just didn't grasp it, why then did they feel they needed... Oh, she wanted Fox involved, didn't she? Because she worked with him before. She was interviewed by him before.
Yeah. Right.
So she's right. The one who wanted, not Tad.
And maybe she thought Tad could find him, because obviously she can't find him.
Ooh, okay. There you go. You're just putting the pieces together for me.
Finding him.
You're
so
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if she was... a pawn, then that's how they get Mulder back into the things, by setting her up to Tad, because she went to Tad and she told Tad to get Fox, so that's the connection all the way back.
I don't know if Tad really had to do a stretch to find Fox. Technically, all Tad did was call the FBI.
He called Skinner, and Skinner called Scully. It was a big game of telephone.
So he didn't really do much investigating, because I'm pretty sure in this universe Fox Mulder is a known entity, and so you knew he worked for the FBI, so it probably
wasn't. But I think he can also pick and choose who he wants to talk to.
So, okay, yeah.
And the only person he really wants to talk to is Scully, so that makes sense to me.
Well, and
he would only be found if he wanted to be found.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so they had to go through that.
You know what I thought was interesting when Sveta said that they do, like, she outrightly said they do everything through the belly button. Like, she just kind of, I think, mm-hmm. even though we know that that's happened because we've seen it before, I just like that somebody said that, because I recall, you know, and especially with the revelation at the end that Scully actually has alien DNA, which we didn't know, it makes all the more sense now because of all those season two shots. Remember when she was pregnant and you'd see the big plunger on her belly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And they were doing something into her belly button. It kind of fit back with that very nicely.
Yeah.
And so I thought in a way they made that fit very well. So... now we know that's how she got her alien DNA.
Right. Huh.
See, all this DNA thing gets really confusing to me, because I guess when I was younger, I really was like, well, once you have your DNA, you really can't do too much with it.
Well, you can alter it. Scientists can alter it and mutate it.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. It feels weird. You know,
it does. I agree with you. It does seem like a very simple thing to just say, oh, they just changed your DNA. Great. Moving on. But I think it's the kind of thing that a scientist, in theory, could do.
Yeah.
You know, again, and we'll get into that too in Founders Mutation, because that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
What do you think? So towards the end of the episode, what do you think of Mulder's big monologue thing at the end? And I loved it when they were all in the room together and they were going off about conspiracies and hybrids and man doing everything. And this,
if he had to memorize that was impressive.
It was really good. That's what I was telling you, like at the, when we saw him at New York Comic Con, he's like, I don't know what stage, but this was a few scenes into whatever they were shooting. So this wasn't, this was kind of like in one of the first few scenes. And he's like, all right, the first few scenes, it's taken a while to get into Mulder's character and everything. He says, I did this scene and I was Mulder. It clicked.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I was just on for the rest of
that
the
That makes
the
sense to me. I like that. I actually transcribed this entire monologue. I'm not going to read it for you.
Read
but
it
I had
first.
To
do a dramatic
recreation. No. We have other things to do with our lives.
Right. But I'm just saying I transcribed it for myself because it helped me understand what he was saying, because he talked so fast.
There were a lot of good things in there.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, that Nick, you really liked that because of like the history aspect.
Oh, totally.
Of it. But I thought it was interesting what he brought up in that about the H-bombs actually bringing the aliens through wormholes. Like, I thought that was interesting.
Right, which actually is a real, like, theory out there. I mean, you hear that on other shows and stuff that talk about alien visitations and things like that, that either like, it attracted them because they sensed the what we were putting out there, or it actually literally drew them to us physically.
And it said too that like they came because they were concerned for our well-being, which I thought was a really interesting read on that, like that the aliens actually never did intend to harm us.
Yeah. And
which,
I think
again, which is, that is turning the whole thing on its head.
See, that
I'll agree with you
that
there.
Part is like, so so do you think, like, because now he seemed very certain that there were no aliens that were... But I liked Charlie's kind of thing at the beginning, that this is a second conspiracy.
I think Mulder is wrong to a degree in that moment.
You think he's just too high on this new conspiracy?
Yeah, he's got parts of it, but he's he's doing what we did at the beginning, which is taking the new part and then saying, oh, that meant everything was. And right. instead of being like, no, that's part two, not everything.
That's the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, still got to take into account the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think in that moment, there's a chance that maybe Mulder himself is a little too overzealous with rewriting history. And this is actually just what they've done since then, which brings up one of my notes, which is what happens in 2012?
He mentioned that, though. He said, like, that's when it began, essentially, we just didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. But what? Like, because it sounded like there was an event in 2012 that was supposed to that kicked something off, and we don't have any idea what that means.
Right. Or that was maybe just when they started. I mean, the thing is that I feel like they started, if they're trying to say that, like, oh, the world started to go crazy, like humans turning against humans and everything crazy that's going on now with terrorism and all that stuff. That obviously happened well before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. They didn't make very clear. They kind of glossed over that, probably on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely think that's a possibility. Yeah. And it's weird because then that also matches up with, was it that the original is supposed to be like the date of the colonization or something?
Right.
And
right.
so clearly that didn't really happen what we thought. So maybe that's what that's a reference to.
Colonization is a code word, just like anything else, just like purity, just like all those other code words that they have.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
obviously everything's a build up, so it's weird to say it started, but I guess I can see there being a date or a year when they literally start to push the stuff over the edge. Like there has to be a slow build up where it has to be a thing over time. Because
this actually starts happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, sudden change, you notice sudden changes, but you don't notice gradual changes. So there has to be decades and years of gradual change. But then at some point, there's that tipping point, and they knew that, and that's what I took it as anyway. And this is obviously interpreted by the viewer. I felt like 2012 was that tipping point. That was like, all right, now we're pushing it downhill, and it's unstoppable from here. The war, the famine, the fights, the you know, the whatever, the weather changing and things like that. It's all going into play now. Everything we've built up.
One more thing to say about this monologue was the fact that he mentioned the crashes at Roswell, and then he said the crashes in the Aztec, or he mentioned the Aztec, which I thought was cool, a cool callback to the finale, how we knew that place had special properties, probably because aliens had crashed there before. But that's my question was, do you think that obviously the crash at Roswell or these crashes that happened at the time were the only ones that actually happened? Or do you think that this is something that's been happening a lot, like aliens crashing to Earth, and that just they'll exactly like they showed us, they'll destroy the alien and use its technology and its DNA?
I feel it's been happening a lot.
Okay.
I feel there's real alien, because I feel like the alien, if they were really concerned, I also feel like they wouldn't necessarily give up. So they'd keep trying to come and help.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now, why they suck at doing that, I don't know.
Crash is the question. But yeah. Why do they keep crashing in that example? You know what I mean? Like, I think that might... The crashes at Roswell were accidents or the military taking them down. So I think that aliens might have come a lot more, but they didn't crash. They were actually in control of their ships.
Right. No, right. I feel there were successful landings too. And then, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they were either killed or taken, you know, the leadership would take them and hide their existence from everybody.
I guess to me, it's actually sort of a moot point, because I think that we know if we're going with the idea that the original series happened the way it sort of ended with in the finale, then the Earth governments had enough time and access to vehicles and creatures that, you know, they were actively trying to create hybrids, all the governments. And so they had plenty of access to all that technology that once they stopped whatever the colonization was, they then had plenty of access to this. So they didn't need more crashes and stuff, because we already have a plot point that seems to justify why governments would have this technology.
Okay.
Well, I also think crashes and sightings were the government testing things, too.
Right.
A lot. Yeah, exactly.
Well, but that could still be, and that makes sense, even more sense to me with this new philosophy that, they did have the technology and they were testing it, which is what people, you know, these alien conspiracy theorists believe is going on.
Yeah.
So I like, I mean, I kind of like that. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, exploring this even further, because the like I said, the first watch, I kind of liked it, went with everything. And then I think I let a lot of stuff get into my head too much when we did the rewatch. Because then, like, when we rewatched some of the stuff from the 9 seasons, did the primer and everything, then watching this, I was like, I didn't like it as much the second or third time. And now, in talking about it, you're helping me make the pieces fit, Anna.
How funny, because I watched it twice, and I liked it better the second time, because it made more sense to me the second time.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely made more sense.
Let's talk about Skinner. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, plus you get over that whole, like, fandom. You know, it's like Phantom Menace, how people, like, watched it, and they're like, yeah! And then they watched it again, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay. No, that was just excitement. I was just really happy. You know what I mean?
Let's not bring that up again.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
And he has a list of things we can't bring up.
That cannot even come up in a conversation about X-Files, because those aren't even in the same arena. No Phantom Menace talk.
So you feel, so overall, Annie, you do feel like this episode did a good job of continuing the story in a logical way from where we left off.
Yeah,
that's what it seems like. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say from where we left off. I would say from 15 years from where we left off.
Yeah, but I think it incorporated the last movie very well.
No. Interesting. I don't remember the last movie too well.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
But let me just take it from me. It definitely incorporated elements of the last movie. But this actually leads me to my next point. If we talk about Skinner for a little bit, yeah. their little meeting in the basement office, which we all love. It pretty much seems like they're pretending season 9 never happened, because we saw Doggett roll up and take that poster.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Mulder has one on his wall. Unless he like went out and bought another one, which I guess is possible.
Well, they're all over the place. You can easily find them.
No, I know you can, but I'm just like, it seemed like, okay, let's make this Easter egg for the fans, but okay, the fans know where that poster is. So it didn't work.
When we saw the commercial and then watched the finale again, we were like, wait a minute, that doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And not even that. Skinner says it's just like you left it when you and Scully left. And I'm like, Doggett and Reyes were in that office for an entire year without Mulder and Scully. So I don't know what you're talking about, Skinner. Like, it seriously is like, they're like, we're just going to pretend season 9 never happened.
Wow.
Which I think is interesting, because obviously there are elements of season 9 that clearly did happen. But
I mean,
we know Reyes at some point is going to show up, pop up in the series. But like, it was odd to me. Like, I felt like they could have treated that scene better. That was another one of those clunky scenes.
So just literally a fan service scene, like
totally.
But it wasn't even like a good fan service scene, because it didn't get the details right.
Well, it was on the surface.
Fan service that didn't really work.
Yeah, so now the poster, okay, because it's interesting you talk about the poster, because the poster rip, right? It doesn't kick in, it rips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, but in the next episode, it's hanging on the wall.
Well, he bought a new one.
Yeah, he bought a new one. Maybe that's what he did. Maybe after. I want to believe they came back to the office for a day or two, and he put up a new poster, and then it fell down again.
The poster is the real X-File.
Yeah, what is exactly. Going on
you with can't it? Kill it. It just keeps coming back.
Okay. Yeah. Which brings up, I Want to Believe, do they have a kid?
Yeah, they mention William in I Want to Believe.
Is it? Oh, it's William that they mentioned. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which kid are you referring to? There's one kid.
What I remember from I Want to Believe is suddenly the two of them having a kid and us going, wait, when did that happen? And feeling like that was all off screen. But that
you're not recalling anything correctly.
No, I'm recalling correctly because I didn't watch season 9.
You knew Scully was pregnant and had a baby. Right.
Yeah, but that's different than we don't know. We leave Scully having that kid without knowing that it's part David Duchovny.
Right, but they don't even have a kid in I Want to Believe, so that's why I'm confused. They talk about him in one scene, But maybe they don't have him.
There you go. Maybe that's – they talk about a kid, and I think that was enough that people were like – I remember people being like, wait, what? They finally slept together and we didn't even know about it?
No,
so these are people who clearly didn't watch the end of the show.
Can you refresh my memory? Yeah. And I want to believe, is that where it was confirmed that it was David or it was Mulder's kid as well?
No, it was confirmed a few times in season 9.
It was confirmed
in season 9, but nobody watches season 9. That's the problem.
It was confirmed in season 9 when, in the X-Files-y way, it was confirmed in the finale of season 8 when he says, we both know the truth, and then they kiss.
Okay.
That's pretty implicit to me.
Yeah.
But they do say in season 9 several times, he's your father, his father's Mulder, our son.
That's right.
They reference it several times. And then,
so there was no reveal in the movie.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, it would be a reveal perhaps to Charlie if he didn't see any of season 9 and didn't remember any of that. He probably could have been like, what are they talking about? But I would say the vast majority of people were probably not confused by that.
You're saying a vast majority of people actually watched season 9?
Yeah. I think so. A vast majority of X-Files fans did.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that, but I would assume they did.
Okay,
I wish I could go back and remember why I didn't watch anymore in season 9.
Was horrible.
I guess.
Yeah. Fair enough. But you still, I mean, if you're
2001, we were in college here.
I don't know.
Doing stuff.
Too much to do. Afternoons and coffee spoons.
Exactly.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, season 8 just ended so perfectly. I mean, in my mind, I just like to think that's how everything ended. So, but you know, anyway.
So you're saying they're doing a Superman Returns with this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I just needed to out nerd you for a second. Don't worry.
Okay. You did.
All right. What's
next? Thank you. No, really, seriously, thank you, Andy, because like you helped me through this because I started to not like this a little bit when more watching. So now I'm going to watch it again with a fresh new take. I just feel the intro. I don't know. Like I felt like the intro bothered me like the third time I watched it.
No, I liked the end, and I liked the fact that the aliens or the humans driving the alien spaceships have upgraded to digital scanning technology because you get that green, like, you know.
Like they're reading a barcode?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's so a different way of seeing a alien abduction kind of thing. You know, normally
it reminded me more of Jose Chung than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just weird and funny and strange.
Do you think she got killed? I heard people saying, oh, maybe she got out, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure she got killed.
No.
She's as dead as the cigarette smoking man in the Navajo village.
Okay, yes, but why?
Wait.
No, Bunny Nick, why didn't they just blow up her car? Why did they have to stage the abduction? There was nobody there to see that but her.
No. I think it was just confirmation of who she was.
Oh, like they used, like...
Yeah, that was scanning. They were scanning her DNA.
Actually, I have two ideas, now that
I think about it. One is it's just identifying her, and because to me, she clearly opens the door and is halfway out the door.
No, she tries. It's locked.
She finally gets out
the door.
Does she?
Yeah.
She gets partway out the door and then it blows up.
And then the whole thing blows up. So she's dead. My second idea might be that maybe they do get something from her before they blow her up. Maybe they beam up something, like maybe she had an embryo in her belly.
Or a memory or something.
Or something that they were able to extract and then they exploded her. Yeah.
That's okay, interesting.
Well, they
either way though,
chips.
We all agree she's dead.
They probably have chips that they could read. So maybe there's
some
bio information that they read off of her.
But if she took her chip out, she would already be dead. So she must have her chip still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But where were the bees? No, just kidding. I think maybe the alien of the spacecraft. Like you're asking, why didn't they just like contract kill her?
Yeah. And if they were just trying to get rid of her, why the big elaborate hoax?
I don't think it was a hoax as much as it was I hate to say this, but I think it was a little bit. I think I like our idea about scanning her, so I'm going to go with that.
It was purposeful, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think it was purposeful for the viewing audience to make a scene, to be, hey, this is, you know, humans doing this technology and we're flying
or
spaceships.
Just to fuck with you and make you think, oh, there really are aliens. Because, I mean, I have to admit, I did think that for a minute. Mm. I did. So
yeah, yeah. But then you go, oh wait, no, this is probably just more of the government in
right. Well, when they blew up her car, I was like, well, that's not the aliens. So I mean, I kind of, but it did get me for a minute.
The cigarette.
Can we go back real quick?
Oh, okay.
No, no, don't get to the. I have more things before we get there.
More things. Go for it.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
When Mulder was talking to that doctor guy that we all hated, when he said, I noticed that he said that when Mulder was talking about the things that he believed that were wrong, and the doctor said warring aliens, lighting each other on fire, and other such nonsense. Did you guys catch when he said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was like the one thing that I was like, well, wait, that's when we actually saw like evidence of real aliens like fighting each other. And remember when they came in and destroyed the syndicate.
Right, right.
But I thought it was interesting that he brought up for this reason. I always thought, and I think we brought this up a couple episodes ago of the podcast, I always thought it was weird that those rebel aliens had to sew up their eyes or whatever to keep from being infected with the black oil, when if they are aliens, they should already have the black oil. Remember we talked about
yeah,
we that?
Did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it made no sense. And so then suddenly I'm like, oh, is this their way of kind of explaining how that does make sense? They weren't aliens at all, so they needed to protect themselves?
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe the rebels aren't necessarily rebel aliens. They're rebel human beings.
Right, and I hate giving them that much credit, but because I really doubt that they thought it through that much. But it's possible, and it makes sense. So I like that, because that was like one of the one things where I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because we saw those rebel aliens. But it never sat right with me that they had to sew up their eyes like that and their noses.
So you owe an apology to Mr. Chris Carter, because...
Well, if that's the case, if people agree with me and we all think that that's the case, then sure.
I'm going with it. I guess
the way I interpreted it was it was a different race of aliens or something. And so
right.
I think at one point we even potentially talked about that the black oil was sort of a symbiote kind of thing that had taken over lots of groups of people, including an alien race. And right. So the people that it had taken over were under its control. And so the other group was like, no, we don't want to be taken over.
Well, you're right. But now you're kind of, you know, just tearing apart my theory.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. I was just saying
if those were really humans, or even like you're saying, a different faction of alien, whatever, then that would explain why they had to do that sewing. But yeah. It never sat right with me. And so the fact that that doctor called out that specific thing and said that, I was kind of like, bravo, well done bringing that up, because it was such kind of an obscure reference that made sense.
And it is one of those things that maybe that's the thing from the previous experiences that they'll tweak, so that way it's not just, oh, this is part two, this is part two, and one or two little things from part one that you thought you knew we're going to play with.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Two more quick things, and then we can move on to Smoking Man. First, I had different opinions on this for the people that I talked to. Do you guys think that because Scully had her tests done twice, right?
Yeah.
She had the first ones came back. She saw what they were and said, I need these retested. I immediately assumed they were positive. They said alien DNA. She didn't want to believe it. And so she had the nurse run it again. Is that how you guys read it? And then she lied to everybody.
Totally. I don't think they were different the first time. I think she... Yes.
Because I heard some people who were, like, I guess, really confused. They were like, well, what? Scully, I guess, messed up the test results.
Oh, no.
And then they were negative. Never and I was just that. Like... No. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. She lied to everybody in the room when she said your test results were negative.
Oh, totally. Because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the same time she called them treasonous, bordering on treason? So she was just so pissed at that point.
Yeah.
She just didn't want anything to do with this.
She didn't want to say anything that would help their
crazy. Exactly.
Okay, good. I'm glad to know that you guys agreed with that.
The thing that I'm different about is I think that when she reordered the test, she reordered a very different tests or more
Yeah, she
tests.
Did. She did. Because she said she see more tests. She said she resequenced the genome and everything and then figured all this stuff out. Yeah. So you're right. But it doesn't change the fact that like she did. They were positive initially as well. And then she lied about it.
Unless they were negative because somebody in the government changed them and then didn't.
No.
But then didn't follow up and go, oh, she asked for it again.
Okay, no. She would never have asked for it again if they came back negative. That's my point. She would never have asked for them to be retested if they came back negative.
No, if by saying that, I might believe that.
Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to just talk about, the very last scene in the parking garage before we get to the final scene.
Yeah, good call.
Because that's the scene where we finally get Scully back. And I liked it. Like, although my question is, who do you think wrote "Don't give up on her car"? Do you think Mulder wrote
that? No, I don't think it was Mulder.
That doesn't make sense if it were Mulder. I mean, Mulder's not the kind of person who's going to go around writing things on people's
cars. I think it was. We're meant to think that it's Tad.
Okay.
I like that. That was kind of my thought, because I don't think it would have been the old doctor dude, right? He'd have no reason to do that to Scully, right?
No, I do want to say, and again, you guys won't remember, but that was a big theme of the movie. That was like the message she got from the priest. Remember that had her continue. What was it, exactly those words? Don't give up, which actually made her go back to Mulder when she was going to leave him. So I thought
Mulder know that.
No, I mean, I don't. Yeah. Maybe he did. I'm trying to remember. She did tell him like about the vision and about what he said. I think, if I recall correctly. But so are you asking that because you think maybe Mulder wrote that?
Well, yeah, if Mulder knew about that scene from the movie, like if he knew the don't give up thing and he knew that brought her back to him, then maybe it was him. And to me, it didn't make sense that he would do that and then stick around and be chilling there. Chat. But
right. Yeah,
it also is creepy to like jump out at her in the parking garage, even if it is Mulder. So that was a way of softening the blow. Someone wrote something. Oh, hey, it's Mulder.
Right.
So and actually, now I think it is. Thank you.
Okay. Well, hey, I can go with that. And then we get the big reveal that Scully actually was the one. I don't want to say the one with alien DNA because I still think Mulder had it all along. But Scully had it all along as well, which could go to explain William, and it could go to explain why he's this perfect human child with no human frailties, apparently, because he's so unique.
What do you mean by all along?
Yeah, no.
Because she was implanted with the alien DNA in season two. So
right,
that's
okay, okay, okay. Yeah.
She's not been all along, but since...
No. I mean, all along since she got adopted.
Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what I mean. And then I liked that a lot because it explained a lot in my head about William. I thought that was really great, and I thought it was really, really compelling motivation for her to come back to the X-Files, because I can't think of a better way to get her back in than to personally involve her in that way.
Yeah.
So I liked that.
Cool.
All right, Smokey Man, what do you guys think?
What the?
I don't know.
Well, it's funny, when I first saw him, you know, like
you
back
didn't
at
know
Comic-Con,
all the finale. So
well, I forgot in season 9 he did have the throat.
Hey, Nick, in that audience you were in, did they flip out?
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Because I remember, like, we knew it was coming, but what was so weird to me was his. Like you said, you missed it the first time, that he has all these like skin grafts.
Yeah, I totally missed that the first time. He has been a mask on, like almost like a skin mask and something.
Which seems to hint to me that he had recovered from being blown up, which makes me even more pissed off. Because I thought this would be a clone situation.
Because it sounds like they're going with, well, he was there and that happened. It just didn't go all the way down to the bone like we specifically saw.
Right. Critter. Let's just start calling Chris Carter Critter. He promises that this will be explained. So,
He actually says that in an interview.
He said it in an interview. So I'm hoping that I'm reserving judgment for now. I'm happy to see the Smoking Man back, obviously. Right. But I just really hope they have a better explanation than, well, he survived. Like, because come on.
There's a couple of times him, Scully, and I think. Well, kind of Duchovny too, where they do this thing where you don't know who it is, but you clearly know who it is. You know what I mean? Like they go, like when you first see Scully, they go around the back of her head. So they kind of hide who she is at first.
They revealed Scully, Mulder, and Smoking Man that way in this episode.
Yeah. And you're just sort of like, no, we know who they are. It's not, this isn't a shock. Like, first of all, I think all three of them are talking when it happens. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I know what this person's voice sounds like. It's not going to shock me. Yeah.
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
It was fun. But that was
overall, Overall, I thought it was a really good episode.
Well, so let's rate the episodes.
Okay.
So for this episode, we're gonna have a different rating system every episode. For this particular episode, we're gonna rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 scoop mark scars. Or as Charlie likes to call them, weird belly buttons.
Belly buttons.
Yep, belly buttons.
Nick, you go first.
I go first. All right. You know what? All right. I was so high on this, I came down a little bit. You guys got me back pumped up for it in talking about it in depth. I'm going with 8 scoop mark scars.
That's my score as well.
That's actually my score too, but the belly button.
Wow.
But I think it's one of those things that I think I'm still, it's only been 2 days. We're still in the high.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it'll be interesting to see once the 6 episodes are over, let's go back and do it again almost.
Yeah.
And then see how it's
I like that.
It's like a movie if you waited 15 years and suddenly got a movie that happens before that movie and you're really excited about it. You know, it's like that.
Yeah. I think, solid 8.
It was enjoyable. There were a lot of good lines in it. There were a lot of fun lines in it. I think David and Jillian, they fell into their roles rather nicely.
Yeah.
It felt X-Files-y as far as they were concerned.
That's it. It feels very much X-Files. It feels a little bit updated, but not so much updated that it doesn't feel like the X-Files anymore.
Right. It's not unfamiliar. Yeah. It was just like two old friends saying, welcome back, you guys. I loved it.
Yeah.
I just felt so good watching it. Like, I just felt exactly. It was like, oh my God, we're watching a new episode of the X-Files. It just felt... So, I mean, yeah, maybe I'm giving it a little bit of nostalgia pointage there, but it's okay. It's fair.
It's not like watching Crystal Skull.
No.
Where when at like half an hour in, you're like, oh my gosh, what happened?
Is it okay to bring up Crystal Skull?
I don't have as strong of a hatred of that, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I think we did a good job of diving into episode 1. Let's head on over to the second episode of season 10 here. And Andy, you're good with title. What was this one called? Oh,
Founder's Mutation.
Founder's Mutation. That's right. It was a pretty important theme throughout the
episode. Pretty straightforward.
Throughout the episode. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So this starts off with some... lab guy, maybe computer tech. What do you think? Was he like a? He wasn't a doctor, right? Was he like a lab technician guy, do you think he was an actual doctor?
Researcher, maybe.
Researcher, yeah. Researcher is a good word. Yeah, I like that. Scientist. Yeah. He was a scientist, and lots of noises in his head, craziness, really, really, really high pitched noises. I mean, these hurt my ears.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very unsettling.
It really was. Like, they didn't try to mute it at all for our listening pleasure. They wanted to hurt us too.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was the episode with the guy from Breaking Bad.
Drive,
I think is the name of it.
Oh, with Bryan Cranston. Yeah, totally. And I also thought of Mulder when Mulder would see the spaceship rubbings and he had those reactions too.
Yeah.
And I think that was like Biogenesis or one of those episodes.
Did your like dogs go nuts because of this sound? I feel like
not that I recall.
No. so this guy is going nuts. I thought it was a really fun opening. See, because like we kind of didn't have that kind of X-Files-y opening in the first episode. It was catching you up on things, and then we had the opening titles, then we go to the commercial, then we come back. This one had a cool X-Files.
This was classic opening. Cold open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's where I guess Vince got it for Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
That's nice. Where...
more of those things that X-Files pioneered.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to kind of be jumping around here because I kind of, on the second, and I did watch this partially through on the third watch because I was kind of getting some of the themes back from the beginning that I saw at the end. Was he being told to access some information or wipe some information off this computer? Is that the case here?
I still am not really clear about that.
Yeah.
Because I don't see, though, there's any way that this Kyle kid would know what he was doing. I think that he was trying to maybe expose what was going on or really? Something before he died, maybe? Mm.
No, I don't know.
Oh, Sanjay was trying to expose it?
No. What
he was being
happening
told something.
As being defined by the rest of the episode, it seems, is that Kyle was trying to find his sister, so he was using somebody who had access
accessing to the database.
The computers to try to figure out if there was information about where his sister was.
Because he told Mulder, find her.
Find her, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I like that.
That's good. So he's trying to get into the data. Okay. You just clarified everything there.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, but it's not clear until the very end.
Yeah.
You know what
thanks.
I mean?
Oh, totally not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even on multiple watches.
Twice, like, and I didn't pick up on that. So yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Very well done. Love it. And I love how this stuff happens and it doesn't get explained until later on. The birds and everything. Because you know the birds are important in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
You just don't know why. And it's really, really good.
Well, and even that they explain, which
right.
is cool.
Exactly.
And the cold open really does a good job of doing that, where it sets you up with all these potential expectations because it feels so similar to a whole bunch of other things that when it finally, the explanation finally does come, you're like, oh, wow, that was totally not what I was thinking at all.
Right. This then leads to like the grossest death ever.
Yeah. Okay. I was watching this at like we were playing trivia at for a friend's birthday, but we were at this it's not a bar. It's a place where they, you know, it's a brewery kind of, but they have a bar kind of thing. Yeah. So there's not food or anything, but yeah. And this is on the television. I'm like, oh, this will be great. I'll get to watch a little bit of this. I'll tweet a couple of messages, but I, you know, the sound's not on and we're watching and and then like 2 minutes into it, this thing happens. And I'm like, why are we watching this in public? This is horrible.
Well, I'm still just shocked that you're at a bar when you should be at home watching X-Files.
Yeah.
It was friend's birthday. Okay. I had to, it was, you know, a social responsibility and
I would change the channel. That would be what I would have done. But
the other channel was Supergirl. So.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no, you missed it in your first viewing, Charlie, but with this disgusting squelching noise that I would rather unhear.
Yeah.
Totally.
It was pretty graphic. This whole episode was pretty graphic. I was kind of amazed
it was.
At what they get away with.
And then we get the guy who's making the rounds now. I'm very happy for him because I liked him as an actor on Battlestar Galactica, the mechanic from Battlestar Galactica, coming in as like the, you know, one of the managers or whatever dealing with Fox and Dana here at the investigation.
Oh, I didn't
recognize
that guy. Well, I didn't watch.
Yeah,
that show.
That guy came in and he was also just the villain on The Flash literally last week. So.
I was going to say, I was like, we just talked about this guy. Right. Why did we just talk about this
guy? He was Turtle on The Flash last week. So we're literally, this guy, I like him. He's cool. So he's at least getting back into the acting thing with some sci-fi stuff. So that's good to see.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great interaction.
That was much later in the episode, though.
No, it was right at the beginning. No, the guy who came in to kind of tell them they can't look at the hard drive.
Okay. That guy. I thought you were talking about somebody else. You're right.
Oh, not the... No. I don't know what position he was in. Maybe a press liaison. I don't know.
Agent from the government. Or
Yeah, that's who I thought you meant. The DOD guy or what he's saying. It's classified. Yeah.
So anyway, I thought this was really good, like Fox... And Scully, you know, kind of investigation here, like another more classic X-Files, like Mulder kind of getting around things and finding the guy's phone and getting into it. I thought that was really, really clever.
I like that. That was fun because and watching it without the sound and seeing bits of it, you're like, oh, that's kind of neat. And you kind of can piece together what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But then actually here he like takes full advantage of the fact that Scully starts asking questions and distracting him. I don't think Scully was doing that on purpose, but
I think she was.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they've worked together enough. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like the interaction between them was just perfect. And I do. I think this was to kind of set up. This was to kind of get us familiar with, hey, they've been working together for years. They know each other.
Which to me brings up the idea that like the transition from last episode to this episode.
Yes.
I mean, like, I know it's always been a problem with X-Files. There's always this big conspiracy. They find something crazy out and then next week they have to deal with a werewolf or something.
Yeah.
That's always happened with this, but in this situation I feel like it makes even less sense.
I agree.
There's all the set the X-Files back up information that we don't get.
Right. Why are they getting a case together?
Where
did that come from?
Were they rehired by the FBI? Was everything else from the past kind of swept under the rug? Yeah, like, there's too many questions here.
All we get is that phone call to the smoking man saying the X-Files have been reopened. And you're like, what? Like, I feel like when they shut down the X-Files and reopened them, it made so much more sense in the, season 3 or 4, or whatever it was when they did that. Now, this doesn't.
I also feel that the just because they reopened the X-Files, and I'm doing air quotes, I don't feel that necessarily leads to, well, you're going to get Monster of the Week cases in addition to figuring out this conspiracy. I felt like it should be just, you're rehired to figure out this conspiracy.
Yeah, and you know what? Specifically in regards to Scully, she was so reluctant to get wrapped back up in this again. And it seems like the only thing that kept her going was the fact that, hey, we're going to get these bastards or whatever she said. And then suddenly we're going after this guy. It was just very, it didn't transition well. And I really wish, they could have had one short scene that could have dealt with that, and they didn't. And it was just another choice that I just don't understand.
Do you think there's a possibility these were aired in a different order than they expected to be?
No. Again, I won't know that till I watch them all. But, obviously, if there is that scene, they're not going to show it in another episode because it wouldn't make sense.
Well, they might not now, but maybe they were written and this one was expected to be third or something, so they didn't think they needed to do that, and then they rearranged them so they just cut out the scene if it was
they've had so much time to prepare for this.
Given all of that, it was a bad decision.
It's a little strange, it's a little weird, and it's almost like, okay, so clearly every week some folder's been showing up at the X-Files and nobody's been doing anything with it, but now that somebody's there, they're like, okay, well, I guess I'll read this one.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point, too.
I also felt like this, with the deformed children angle on this episode, that it tied into some of the work that Scully is doing, but that's never brought up.
No, okay, see, and I think we were waiting to the end of our conversation to do this. This episode does not necessarily feel like a Monster of a Week.
Right.
It almost feels like it's half monster, half, we're going to be telling this big arc story and secretly inserting a lot of it into these things that we're calling Monster of the Week episodes.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that's going to be that way the whole 6 episodes.
Which I'm okay with, I think.
I'm okay with that, too. I just, like you said, it didn't feel Monster of the Week to me. Like, it kind of did, but not entirely.
Yeah, because it deals directly with the place Scully used to work, or works, or whatever.
Well, it deals with, the alien DNA.
Alien DNA.
It deals with William.
Yeah, it really deals with William.
Right.
I think that this is just a subtle way. But then there's also the idea that I think at one point they said it was going to be 3 and 3. And so maybe this was we'll have to see next week what happens. I think there's a chance that maybe this was one that they originally called mythology, but then they pushed it down because they're it's not enough mythology
really
to call it that. So we'll just say it's a Monster of the Week one.
And it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. Like you said, we have those bridge episodes. This is kind of one of those bridge episodes.
Well, neither of you kind of addressed kind of what I brought up here. What bothered me the most about this episode, I really liked this episode. What bothered me the most about it was that I feel like Scully working at this Our Lady Sorrows hospital there and working with the deformed children would have some kind of knowledge or link to this other guy, to this doctor, to this founder who is working on deformed children as well.
Well, she did. She knew how to find him.
That's how they used them. Yeah, yeah. I think the deformities were different enough. Scully was working with a very specific deformity.
But like I said, she did know how to find him.
Yeah.
She actually said, I know how to find him, and she is the one who found him. So I don't understand.
I guess I need more knowledge about what he's doing or working with him on this.
It's clearly very secretive. Yeah. It's clearly very secretive.
Was anybody else kind of weirdly disappointed when we did find him?
Because at him himself?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I like the idea that he was just kind of a normal guy. He creeped me out. He was a creepy guy. He was creepy.
I wanted him to be a little bit more like, I guess.
Like maybe mad scientist?
No. I wanted it to be a little bit more Dr. Freeze or something like that, where it's like he or his wife has a deformity and he's trying to solve the problem of that deformity with these kids or something. And I don't know.
That didn't bother me. It's very Monster Next Door type stuff. Like this could be your doctor. Well,
and maybe because I thought that, maybe that's why they didn't do that, is just to be something different.
My question is, why were Mulder and Scully called in on this at all? Because it wasn't even an X-File until
they
later.
They said it, though.
Yeah, they did.
They did have a line where they're like, well, the reason we were called in is because we have the security to walk into this room. And
but
then
why?
The guy's like, because they work for the FBI.
Well,
why were they called in on that? Them two specifically working on the X-Files, why were they called into that?
This goes to
beyond everything.
Well, kind of. Kind of and not really. Mulder says it. Scully hints towards it and Mulder acknowledges it. Mulder wanted this case. Like, I think Mulder knew there was something deeper to this particular case. Like, maybe he was looking, since he got access, which again, like I said, this is the part we missed, but I think Mulder got access to files in the room, you know, the FBI again, and he was searching through, he found case. I think he picked it.
Later it becomes clear.
I believe what you're saying. I just don't connect it to that statement that he makes. I thought the statement was a little bit more contemporary than that. Like, once he was on the case and saw what he could get with it, that's why he kept pushing. I don't necessarily connect it with that's why he got on the case, but I would find it interesting. Yeah.
I'd have to find the line, but I honestly think Scully pretty much says it. And
she said, like, this is what you thought all along, but you didn't articulate.
Kind of something like that. But you're right, it could be taken either way, which apparently we're running into a lot of things that are up for interpretation.
That's the X-Files for you.
Yeah,
right. Again, and that's what we love about it, but you have to figure it out. That's what I like about these shows, is that you do have to put the pieces together. It's not lazy viewing, it's thinkers viewing, and I like that.
Well, except for one part, towards the beginning, where Mulder and Scully were in the car, and they were showing the camera technology. Was that basically a car commercial?
Yes.
Like, that didn't mean anything other than this is a car commercial inside the
X-Files, right? I agree. The first time I was like, what's the point of this? But I didn't even notice that they hit Kyle.
Oh,
I didn't,
really?
I didn't notice that until the second time.
It was so obvious when he almost hits them with the cleaning cart as they're leaving the building.
Right.
And then the guy they almost hit with the car is also basically the same guy. You're like, well that's clearly the guy.
I just didn't register that it was the same guy.
They didn't need to do it with the camera technology in the car.
No, they didn't.
No. But it was, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. That was a car commercial. I'm sure there's going to be lots of that kind of stuff. But I don't know. To me,
it wasn't a very good one, because I don't know what car they were in.
Yeah. the fact that they randomly ran into, like, from the very beginning, when he's pushing the cart and
obviously
almost runs into him,
you know,
it was like, well, that's somebody.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. They always have that sort of thing. Like, even Mulder, but I love that, because it's always Mulder just lucks into that. Like, he just kind of finds the guy. Like, I think that's so Mulder, though. So it doesn't, I mean, again, he always finds the guy, because he's got this just great instinct. And I thought it was cool and kind of believable how he figured this one out. Like, the first time I watched it through, I was like, oh, I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. And then the second time I watched it through, I was like, okay, he connected this dot and this dot and this dot. And he was figuring it out all along. It wasn't just like a sudden revelation at the end.
Yeah.
So I was okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we necessarily knew specifically, but as a watcher, you can also kind of connect those dots yourself too.
Right. I think it was very
watch, which is cool.
Right.
Decently
right.
linear. You connect them, you could figure it out.
Yeah.
And then they get to the point where he is kind of figuring this out, and he basically, this ward is an incubator for, you know, experiments and done by the Department of Defense. There's lots of ties and things like that. And then that all leads us to the William discussion.
Well, before we get to that, can I talk about something real quick that happened early?
Yeah.
I have to mention this because it makes me laugh. When this episode first started, and they have the disclaimers at the beginning, and it's like violence, gore, language, and then it said sexual situations, and I immediately turned to my husband and I'm like, sexual situations? What? Oh, like, I had a mini freak out because I thought that maybe perhaps the long-awaited Mulder Scully love scene was nigh. But alas, it was just Mulder almost getting a blowjob.
All right, and I have to tell you something funny about the blowjob scene. So they go in there, and immediately Sanjay gets, or not Sanjay, but the
Gupta
gets down to his knees and starts, like, you know, going after Mulder there.
Undoing his pants.
Like, I don't know if this is my naivety, whatever. I thought he was checking for a wire.
Nick, I initially, for a split second, thought that too.
Okay.
For two reasons. Number one, X-Files would never do a joke like
this.
Right?
Okay.
Never. I was so shocked. And secondly, I was still holding out hope that there was a Mulder Scully sexual situation happening. So I am not making fun of you for that. I thought the same thing. Like, for a split second, I was like, what is he doing?
I got it pretty quickly, I totally thought it was searching for a wire.
It was very non-X-Files. It makes me think that maybe it seems like almost like a David Duchovny thing where he's like, wouldn't this be funny if we kind of added this in? Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he put that in.
And his reaction was perfect. Love it.
Yeah. Honestly, in other David Duchovny roles, I could have totally seen him let it happen and then be like, what I actually came in here for.
Like, if it were Hank Moody, he might have just gone with it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards said, by the way, I need some information. Anyway, I thought that was a funny scene, though. I liked it.
Do you
want to talk about William?
Well, I think so. I mean, yeah. I thought this was a great scene. This was a really good scene outside the hospital, where he basically starts to explain everything to Scully, and then they start to question things. This was the point, you know. In the first episode, we got to the point where they just started questioning everything. Where I think the interesting thing, and maybe I'm taking this a little too far philosophical, I feel like in the first episode of season 10 here, it was Fox that was questioning everything, questioning his career and questioning things. And in this episode, it made Scully question everything.
Well, and even about the baby itself, I remember a lot of late season 8, Mulder really, really wanting answers and Scully kind of being like, my baby's fine. And so that was interesting to kind of flip it on its head. And like, she's obviously had a lot of time to think about this.
Oh, yeah.
So I did think that, and I thought that was a very organic way of bringing it up too. So I liked that. I mean, I love the way they included William in this episode. I just thought it really spoke to the heart of that. I mean, the relationship between Scully and William and Mulder and William, you know.
Right. Did you like the little dream sequences?
I did, but let's talk about the conversation leading into that first, because that takes us to my shippy moment of this week. It's when Scully says, was I just an incubator? And Mulder, you know, apropos of nothing, just to be adorable, says, well, you're never just anything to me, Scully.
Just to be adorable.
You know, it was just out of nowhere and cute, and it was just for the shippers, and I loved it. It was the kind of line that, you know, throw it into a season 4 or 5 episode, and everyone would have been like, shitting their pants. It was amazing.
Well, it totally builds upon what we saw in the first episode too, where you have this relationship here where seemingly, and you may look at it deeper than this, I don't know, but it's like Scully still obviously cares about Mulder, but Mulder actively is trying to flirt
wants
and
her back.
Be, get back together.
Yeah. He's throwing her some bones here.
Yeah.
Sorry, no innuendo intended. Hopefully, maybe later he'll throw her some other bones. But I had to do it. Sorry. But
his delivery was perfect in this scene too. Like my favorite line was, well, let's pull the thread and see what unravels. Like, I just loved it. I loved his delivery of that. I loved the context of it.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a good scene.
I do think too, I mean, we're going to talk about William in a second, but like the idea that he told her, well, of course I think about him all the time, but I'm putting it behind me. When he's kind of trying to, I think, be strong for Scully, when we find out later, that's clearly not true. We see Scully's first, we could talk about the visions. I was kind of like, I don't know how I felt about the visions because it was very X-Files. It didn't feel like out of vein with the show.
No.
Because that sort of thing happens in this show. But it was just so heartbreaking that I almost didn't want to see it. It made me kind of physically ill watching it.
Really?
Because it was just so sad. And again, I'm a mom. And you guys aren't.
Yeah, that's going to taint your view.
So I have this sort of, I kind of have this bias going in just to think that these are the things she thinks about every day. How, today he would be starting school. Oh, today, he'd be starting high school. He'd be doing, and she thinks about that every day.
So you think it's regret? You think it's worry?
It's longing and it's heartbreaking. And and it's also worry too, because it throw in the fear that she has that there's something wrong with him. And that's always been her fear. Always been her fear that there's something wrong with her baby. And so it makes perfect sense. It made perfect sense. And I thought it was very well done and well acted. Just long enough. Any longer, I would have been like, okay, enough already. But hers in particular was, I don't know. And Mulder's later. We can just talk about that now.
See, I like Mulder's better.
I liked his better because it was... That's the first time we've really seen Mulder have any kind of feeling towards William. And it's sad to say that, but he hasn't had an opportunity, other than when he held the baby once.
Right.
He hasn't had an opportunity to show any, he hasn't, or time to show any sort of feeling towards what happened to William. Like, Scully tells him in the jail cell in the finale, you'll never know, you'll never guess what I had to do. And, Skinner told me. Again, you guys know that.
We've already gone over that.
But he has not had any time to grieve. And so I thought it was very, very important to see that, to see him, that he thinks about this too, that it's something that he thinks. The only thing that I was a little disappointed by was that Mulder, and I thought it was interesting, that neither Mulder or Scully saw each other in their visions with William.
I was just about to say that. There's a couple of things from this these visions that are interesting, and I think... I don't know if they're telling or just weird. I think it's strange that Mulder's were just all happy and Scully's had that tinge of
evilness. Wasn't all happy.
No, it was happy. Well, oh, yeah.
No, at the end he got abducted. It's the same thing.
You're right. So they similar paths. Yeah, neither of them see each other in this future life, which I find very strange.
Because
you'd think that if they did have him, they would maybe imagine being with each other. But the other thing is the vision of them in the bedroom, the bedroom's the same.
Yes, I was going to make that comment too. The bedroom is the same, which it makes me think that maybe at some point they planned on trying to have another kid
or had the
bedroom prepared. Who knows? There could be a million reasons for that, but I thought that was a very interesting thing. And I also think that too, I don't want to read too much into the fact that they weren't seeing each other in the visions, because I think that clearly the vision that we saw in this episode was the one Scully is having right now, in real time. And she's not really in the place right now where she would have been raising William with Mulder. So it makes sense to me on her end that she wouldn't see Mulder. But it doesn't make sense to me that Mulder wouldn't be seeing her. I think that if they had maybe even just put Scully on the couch with them or put her in the background of one of those shots, it would have made more sense to me.
I agree.
Mulder's vision.
Can I just, I get it. And I just, from my point of view, I like the fact that the other person wasn't in there, because it's just a mother son and a father son moment.
Yeah. And you're right with that too. It doesn't bother me in a way that it makes me mad or anything. It's just interesting. It stood out to me.
I think
you're right. They're focusing on the parental relationship, and I get that. You're right. I get it. If they had put something like that in, all the shippers would have just gone crazy and then not paid attention to what the scene is actually supposed to mean. And so you're right. It was a good decision.
I think distracting in the subconscious. I think if you're long, you're thinking of somebody, a lot of times you are just singularly focused on that person. And mm-hmm. so other people are not necessarily in there. Anybody else is just a background character.
Right.
I think there's a little bit of a contradiction with neither of them being in that and that room being the same. It seems like it's two different mm-hmm. sides. Like it's two different stories it's telling in some ways.
Well, maybe that was their way of hinting to us, the viewer, that, hey, they are present in each other's minds.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So I like that idea.
The other thing I got out of them is I feel the way they were different, in a way, maybe this is what you were kind of thinking of, Charlie, before you forgot that he got abducted in Fox's vision. But in Scully's vision, like it was really based on fear. She was afraid almost the entire time.
Yes.
In Mulder's vision,
it's good for three.
It was
fourths.
More happy.
It yeah. was more happy. It was him kind of imparting himself onto somebody else, almost like
yep.
he needs somebody else to carry on his legacy because he doesn't know how much further mm-hmm. he can go. And it was also a lot about like the. Building upon, and I may be looking way too far into this, but building upon the themes that we've witnessed so far in the first and now second episodes, the theme of kind of evolution of man, contact with aliens, the building of human knowledge, mm-hmm. and like experimentation and exploring, and that's all Mulder. Like, that's his life. Yeah. And now he's imparting that onto his kid.
And that's completely wrapped up in the movie that we see throughout the thing, which is 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I recognized mm-hmm. that way early in one of the scenes. It was just in the background. And then it's in, not only is it in the background of one of the
scenes.
I thought
it was Planet of the Apes earlier.
Planet of the Apes.
Oh, maybe it was Planet of the Apes.
In Mulder's vision?
No, not in Mulder's vision. Oh, in the home with the pregnant women, we're watching Planet of the Apes. And then with Mulder, it was 2001.
Interesting. That's, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I also read it too, and I just thought of this is kind of the visions are, like I was saying, a state of their relationship right now. Scully being rather pessimistic and Mulder being more optimistic.
Yeah, I can see that.
If you want to bring it back to Scully and Mulder, which again, everything always comes back to Scully and Mulder. I really think those dream sequences were handled well.
The mother is more afraid, whereas the dad kind of wants those father-son moments and to build his legacy.
Yeah.
Where the mother's more nurturing and just afraid of what could be.
I can vouch for that, yes. Yeah. Let's talk real quick about, Casey Rohl, her cameo, if any Hannibal watchers.
No.
I was watching this and I was like, holy crap, is that Casey Rohl? She's in Hannibal, which I thought was cool because maybe Jillian brought her in to
Definitely.
Be in the show.
Definitely.
Yeah. She played Agnes, the pregnant girl who they see in the ward and then find dead later and her baby was stolen. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I thought that was a cool little...
Is Gillian Anderson in Hannibal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yes, very much so.
It. That's okay.
You need to watch Hannibal, man. It's so good.
It's crazy. I really enjoyed the... there was that moment where they're getting the tour and then they're backed away and a pregnant girl, there's things happening and you see like telekinesis happening with the pregnant girl.
Well, that was a different scene you're talking about. That was when they were at the actual hospital.
Oh, was that in the hospital one?
Okay. Yeah. I think they ran into Agnes when they were at the Scully's hospital.
Right, yeah. They ran to Agnes at Scully's hospital. That's when they give the card. You're talking about
that was Augustus, the founder's hospital,
right,
with all the kids with the
mutant. That
was the fake Molly, I think. Right,
the fake
was that
Molly.
The fake Molly, or
that
the real Molly.
The real Molly. I think the real Molly has the telekinesis.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no,
and,
no,
and I, you know, fishy gills.
I got the impression that the girl who was the pregnant lady at that moment, the kid was doing all that stuff.
Wait, what? Say that again?
There's a moment where this pregnant lady freaks out and then suddenly...
She's not pregnant. You're getting confused.
Yeah, you are getting confused.
They looked very similar, but there's no... The pregnant girl doesn't freak out and make things
move. Talking the girl kicking and screaming that's being taken away by two guys and things start flying up.
That was his sister we ran into at the very, very end.
That was to show the sister
that was Molly.
Telekinesis by the sister.
Yeah.
Okay, and Agnes, you sure she's not pregnant?
Yeah, she's not pregnant.
She's not pregnant.
She looked pregnant to me.
Agnes, that wasn't the incubation thing.
Sure, but they never, ever, 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 ever mention it or bring it up as relevant to the story, so it doesn't matter.
Well, to me,
Agnes is the one who was pregnant.
To me, the thing that it did was it harkened back to what will later be the baby we find out from inside the mom's womb telling her to cut him out and controlling her.
So you're saying also, if she was pregnant, maybe her baby was making her flip out.
Because and that's in my mind too, because like 2 weeks ago on an episode of Heroes.
Oh.
No, Heroes, there's that sort of thing with the baby in utero doing manifesting their powers on the outside.
Okay, well, I didn't catch that. You could be right.
I don't know. That's okay.
You're saying Molly was pregnant?
No.
Okay. That's what he's saying.
I'll double look.
Okay. That's what he's saying.
So he's saying Molly was pregnant, but he doesn't think she was Molly.
How is Molly pregnant when she's been in a hospital for years? It doesn't make any sense. Who's pulling in and impregnating?
I don't think it's Molly, but that's besides the
point. But it's definitely not Agnes either.
It is Molly. It is Molly.
Okay, well, all I'm saying is it's
whoever it is,
not
it's one of these girls that's been locked in this hospital for years. So how is she getting pregnant? That's my question.
Well, don't they? Wait. Oh.
It's two separate facilities you guys are talking about.
No, I know that. But so at the Our Lady of Sorrows Hospital, are you saying that these women are getting naturally pregnant and then they're doing stuff with the babies?
I don't necessarily think so, because they said that Augustus was, or Augustus, the founder, whatever his name was funding that program.
Right, they're making the girls pregnant.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you said this girl get pregnant? Because she was in
But it was two separate facilities.
No, I know that.
Dealing with two separate things. Like,
but
kids
your argument doesn't stand true, because they could just make her pregnant. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you're right. I suppose they could just make her pregnant.
But anyway, Charles, I think, unless we're totally mistaken, but nonetheless, they showed the girl that was doing the telekinesis.
This goes back to something different. I think the girls were pregnant, come into this hospital, and then they do something with the girls' babies.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do you think they're pregnant when they come, or do you think they insert and make them pregnant?
Yeah, I think that they're pregnant, and then they alter something.
Okay. In the womb.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to care about these kids anyway, so it doesn't matter. We can do
right. They're all like drifters or people from bad, you know, so nobody's going to.
And it seems like they've signed over their babies already.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because Agnes was saying, I don't want to give him up. I changed my mind.
Yeah. And Mother Mary, or Sister Mary, thinks that they're doing like God's. Do you think she's really like godly, or do you think she knows what's going on? I feel Sister Mary is really godly and is like, well, we're saving these women from not getting abortions. They're just coming here and giving up their kids. Like, I don't think Sister Mary is evil at all.
Oh, yeah, I don't either. I don't think she knows really what's going on.
Yeah, I think using her religion to be like, hey, you're helping.
Right. Yay. I don't think she knows what's really going on, for sure.
I'd like to get into, we go over to Goldman's facility now, and we see all these disfigured kids. First of all, bravo.
Well done with the makeup.
On the makeup.
Yeah,
the
unless these are real kids with disabilities, which I really doubt.
No, we can't be talking about them like this if they are. No, don't even pretend they are. But the kid with
I know these are all real disabilities. There are kids out there that look like that. So,
like the huge jaw thing, that was the greatest thing I ever seen. That was awesome.
It's terrifying. I thought this entire episode just terrified me.
And they had to have the big chin kid eat, because that was just great scene.
My question is, where are the walk-ins? Walk-ins, where are you? Come step in at any time.
So they get into some talking, and you may have some other points here, but one question I have is Scully brings up like alien DNA. He's like, so use alien DNA, trying to catch Goldman. Yeah. And he doesn't answer the question, but is she saying that they use alien DNA to cause these things or to help try to cure them? Like what is she talking about here?
I think it's both sides. I think they're using the alien DNA potentially to cure the people with the diseases.
Right.
But they're also aware that the alien DNA is also, it's almost like they're doing their own hybrid research.
And the alien DNA can cause things that we see, like in The Other Girl, the telekinesis and the underwater breathing or whatever. Like, it can also cause superpowers. It can, but we also know that alien DNA or aliens in itself have healing properties. So it makes sense to me that they would be trying to use it to help, which begs the question, is this really a bad guy? Or is he actually trying to help? I mean, he is a bit of a Frankenstein because, I mean, who would do that to their own kid for no reason?
Right.
But, you know, he is, I think, maybe actually trying to help these other kids.
Almost Hitler kind of way, where he, in his mind, he thinks he's going to do good, but they need test subjects. And so instead of testing on animals or anything like that, we're going to just go ahead and test on humans.
Right. Well, and in some ways, if there were babies that he felt were going to be gotten rid of, then he's not even using test subjects that are, you know what I mean? Like,
he could justify already, it.
Yeah. No, and I agree. I looked at the thing. She's not pregnant in that scene. I just totally thought she was.
Okay.
It was a lot more interesting if she was.
Well, it would be interesting, but I also feel it's like just throwing one more thing in that was unnecessary.
Well, no, what's weird for me, though, is by thinking that, I already foreshadowed what was going to happen in the show.
Without knowing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about her for a minute when they go visit the mom. Nick's favorite scene.
Oh, totally. I don't have to be crazy to throw apples at cats.
Like, no, you do.
Well, no, cats are evil.
Okay, first of all, what was that about? Cats?
Yeah, what was that about? Do you think that was just supposed to be funny, or did that have some sort of meaning?
Oh, I don't
like. Why would she? What does she have against cats?
I think it was just supposed to be funny.
Okay, because she's clearly crazy.
Yeah, and she did a great job playing crazy. Her facial movements and her eyes, her mouth. Oh my goodness.
That's the funny thing. I like what Scully said when they were walking out. She's like, look, everything in my training tells me that this woman is nuts, but still trust her. Like, I think she is crazy because this whole situation has driven her crazy, but I don't think she's lying about what happened, you know? And I think that's kind of the gist of what Scully was saying.
Well, and that's good, you know, because I'm glad we played a little bit of it in the first episode with Scully being skeptical, but I even think in thinking about it even more so. See, because I read some things online that she, and I, you know, hate doing this sometimes, but I read some things online like that that people were upset that she was still playing the skeptical card, whereas I think when we really went back and studied it, she was just playing the I'm upset at the truth card, honestly, in the first episode. And we kind of already went over that. So I think I'm glad she doesn't use the skeptical thing at all here. She's like, she's down on it. She even goes against her training to go with, I guess, her instincts or whatever.
Her mother, it's her mother. That's how she makes a connection with this woman. It's the mother connection, which is interesting to me that she can kind of see past that because for that reason.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Are you going to talk about the nastiest scene in the whole thing? Where she's cutting her baby out? Yeah. Like, okay, I thought Game of Thrones was bad. It was bad, but this was gross.
This is a different, right? Isn't this a little different level of stuff than X-Files did back in the 90s?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you would ever see someone cutting into someone's stomach and a baby crawling out. Like, that's gross. And I'm pregnant right now, as people may not know, and so watching it made it that much worse.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that you were pregnant.
Yeah. It's not fun to watch things like that. I actually, just so you know, I watched the Red Wedding Game of Thrones episode while pregnant as well. So I have not had good luck with this stuff. But
things happen when Anne Marie's pregnant.
So where do you think that the baby crawled out and the passerby scooped up the baby? Is that what happened here?
There's no possible way that this woman cut her belly open and the baby crawled out. Like, there's like, that's not possible.
It's an alien thing.
I mean, it's X-Files, I guess, but I'm like, the newborns don't have that kind of mobility, which makes me think, okay, maybe somebody actually, like, the baby was half hanging out or something, and like the person took the baby out, which seems to me also very, very lucky that somebody happened to walk by in the right place, because that baby would be dead within minutes. You know, it doesn't seem plausible. But again, this is the X-Files. So, OK, let's go with it. And obviously the kid lived because he's alive. So,
Kyle,
I want to know who this woman is and where she came from and how she took the baby. That's what I want to know.
She probably could potentially. It's probably like a Superman thing, you know, where it's like, oh, I've always wanted a kid, and there's one on the side of the road. Let me grab it.
Right. It just seems very serendipitous.
And not stick around with the dead mom.
Right.
No. Totally.
Just run.
Well, it's like, I don't know if you guys watched Leftovers, but it was very similar if you watched this season of Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
You know how the woman was dying with the baby in her arms, and so the other woman came up and said, well, this baby needs help, and just took it. And when you're watching that, you're thinking, well, good, the baby's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But we don't see that part in this scene, so that's why I kind of have to...
And that's good. I'm glad they don't try to explain it too much. They just
go. And that's X-Files, so hey, it's fine, but... I was thinking that, though. I'm like, there's no way that baby crawled out of her tummy. Come on. The baby's just, like, crawling down the road. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous.
She was clearly post, she's overdue. And
yeah. She did say she was 9 months pregnant, so the baby was definitely ready to come out. And I do like the idea that she understood that the baby was telling her, get me out.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, I like the idea of that.
Honestly, I never heard of this before, and so maybe you guys have, and it's like a well, duh. But Founder's Mutation, like that's a thing, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, well, I looked it up. It seemed to pop up.
Yeah, it seems like because the way Mulder explained it was a real life thing. So the Founder's Mutation is that first mutation that spawns like kind of an evolutionary branch. A tree spark. Start of a change. So there's always this founder's mutation.
That goes back to what Sanjay was doing. Like, why did he write that on his hand? He wanted somebody to see that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think the founder's mutation was they were looking for that beginning thing. And I guess I feel like that's what was trying to happen in some of these kids. Like, so the mutation with one of the kids was breathing in water or telekinesis. And that was, that was like, hopefully going to like in the evolutionary sense, that was a start of a new branch. And that's what I mean. Yeah. That's kind of like goes back to Mulder's kind of vision. And there was this evolutionary aspect to it, I think. And
it's very cool. Like when they do X-Men and it's like the first generation of X-Men kind of thing where it's like, yeah, these mutations are becoming the next iteration of what humankind is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but I actually thought of the founder's mutation as being William and them including him in this episode for that reason, symbolically or realistically. Ooh. Because Mulder says something at one point when he and you know, he's talking about the syndicate and the hybrids and that scene when he's talking about that with Scully. And he says one child with the correct combination of DNA could be a start.
And right, that's where he was having his talk. Yeah,
immediately went to William.
Oh my
because
God.
He was like the that. One. He was the one who had the correct combination of DNA, and so in a way, he is the founder's mutation. So, and again,
you're right, he is that beginning start of a change where he could then spawn
he
off.
Absolutely
others.
Is, and so that's and that was kind of my thing. Like, okay, that was what kind of held this whole episode together, and it was actually very, very, very smart. If that's what they intended,
has to be. That was that's good.
Oh, thanks.
Which leads to more idea that this isn't necessarily a Monster of the Week episode as much as we thought it was.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
One more thing I wanted to say at the end when the founder is taking the blood from Kyle. I they did this a lot throughout, even in the first episode. So I don't know if it was intentional, but the blood looked awfully dark.
Yes.
And they made a point of focusing on it. And I was like, is that supposed to be like black oil? Like, that was my first thought.
I know.
I know it's not, but I was just kind of like, and I think the only reason they focused on it is because Mulder steals it later. I get it. But I did have that thought. I was like, oh, are they going to find black oil in his blood?
Well, and the way they shot a lot of it, like, I love the photography here because, I mean, just some of the camera angles and everything are really good. Like that whole scene in the doctor's office. It was just, I don't know how to explain it. It was just visually pleasing the way it was shot, the cuts and everything. And it was a good scene to watch when Goldman was kind of checking Kyle out and everything. And
Kyle
did a great job.
It was super creepy the way he said the line. He was like, can I take some blood? Yeah. Just like the way he said it was so creepy. That guy was, he delivered that line really creepy.
Well, it was a creepy, like, whole experience because you had Mulder and Scully taking Kyle to this guy. And I, obviously they didn't tell Goldman who Kyle was.
Right. Like kind of, but kind of knowing that they're taking him into a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was like, they're like key in or it was weird. Cause they were like springing a trap in some way. Like,
right.
I think they thought that by coming subtly and then suddenly revealing this is your son, maybe they were going to get something out of the doctor.
Yeah.
I thought that they, my feeling was that they wanted him to reunite with his sister because he would stop doing what he was doing.
That's what I thought too. They didn't expect the outcome of them killing dad.
Right. Yeah. I think, and that's why at the end they kind of don't really care that they've escaped because I don't think he's going to harm anyone anymore because he's found his sister. So yeah. I kind of like the idea that they wanted him to find his sister. That was and Scully right off the bat, I know how to find him. Like I know how we can find her. Like that's what they wanted to do. So I liked that. And I also liked that the fact that Kyle and Molly were communicating telepathically, which kind of harkened back to another ability you get from having alien DNA.
Yeah.
And I feel
like Mulder and Gibson and, you know.
Right. And I feel reuniting them stabilizes them.
Right.
Too. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like they just wanted out and they just wanted to be free. And then they were. And I mean, that was cool.
And in the very X-Files way, we never have to hear from them again. Like,
no. And Mulder got the blood, and he's like, we can keep researching this a little bit and see. Yeah. And I wonder if that's going to lead anywhere. It probably won't. But it was just kind of nice to know that he got what he wanted. And they ended up, in a way, it's like they won. They kind of won, you know?
Yeah, I just read the AV Club's review of it, and that's one of the questions that they had at the end. They're like, hey, this means Mulder actually almost has, like, evidence. You know? Because the evidence was the girl who exploded. So now he's got sort of like more blood to play with.
Well, I mean, Scully did have her test results too.
Yeah,
she had her blood. So maybe if they compared this guy's blood with Sveta's, that would be helpful. But I have one more note on this episode. It's kind of a funny note. Why can Scully mention Google at the beginning of this episode, but yet she has to use Finder Spider? I didn't like that. I'm like, you know what? Don't make a Google joke if you can't actually use Google.
It's probably the difference between showing something, you know, an audio reference. You know, like if you say
the word
Google.
I'm not saying legally why. Oh, okay, I'm just saying story-wise. Yeah. What? I mean, was the joke really that worth it? Was it worth that confusion? I don't know.
I thought one thing that I found humorous there is that, like, I was thinking after the first episode aired how the internet maybe isn't the best thing for the X-Files TV show.
No,
it isn't.
But they actually made a joke kind of like inside this episode about how the internet isn't the best thing for Mulder.
Right.
Which is kind of funny.
Or Scully. And I think that's cool. That's them poking fun at themselves like, hey, we're kind of not in this era yet. And I like that. I like that. A friend of mine had a problem with this episode because he says that he's watching it and it doesn't feel like 2016. It feels dated. And I was just kind of like, so what's the problem with that? Like, why does that bother you? I was like, it didn't bother me. It almost feels like Mulder and Scully were kind of just like that Jimmy Kimmel skit. They were just kind of plucked out of the 90s and thrown back into the world. Whereas Scully should be much more up on it than Mulder. But, you know, it works for me. I find it kind of funny because it's basically just kind of nodding at the fans. Like, we know this would a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen in today's age because we have Google. So, you know.
I didn't find it anachronistic at all. You know what I mean? Like,
me neither. I didn't either.
Well, I mean, there was a big change. I mean, in the first episode, this episode, with the janitor stuff. They go into Mulder's office and they use like digital surveillance computer technology, which they wouldn't have had in the original run of the series. Which and they knew how to use it. They didn't make a big thing of it. And
Scully did, to be fair.
Well, yes, okay, Scully used it, but they used it. You know what I mean? Like it was good to see that they're up to it like that.
They found a nice line where they can still tell the stories they want to tell. But at the same time, not feel like they're too outdated, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if they got too modern seeming, I mean, if they went like, you know, all CSI, you know, on them and had, you know, computers and the you know, walls that you can't see that you could touch and move stuff around on and stuff.
Right.
That'd be a little too weird. Yeah.
Well, because that's very, you know, futuristic even to us now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm glad they didn't go that route. But that's all the notes I have on this episode, guys.
Mulder's JFK impression. Good, bad, no?
Anyway. Sorry, I don't know what you're referring to.
I don't think it's a JFK impression.
Totally. Oh, he totally does the
Tell JFK. Me what you're talking about.
In his scene with William, when they say, we don't go to the moon because it's easy, we go because
it's hard. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he definitely tries to do a little JFK there, whether it be Mulder, whether it be David Duchovny intentionally doing a bad JFK, or that's
cute.
The best he could do.
I'm going to say
cute for his kid. It was still good. Like, it was still funny. Like, whether or not he was trying to do it bad or not,
it seemed like it was a little inside joke between them, which built on their relationship. Yeah. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. Mm-hmm. All right. Time to rate the episode. We're going to rate episode two here. We're going to rate it on the scale of 1 to 10 blackbirds.
Mm.
1 to 10 blackbirds. I went first last time, so I'm going to make Charlie go
first.
Wait,
are blackbirds good or bad?
They're good.
Yeah, they're good in this
case. Okay. I think I'm going to say 7.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be very boring, because I'm actually going 7 as well. I raised it up from a 6. Each time I've went up 1 point. After we've actually sat and talked about the episode in depth. I like it better than I did originally, so 7.
Interesting. Well, I'll be slightly different if I can, and I'm going to say 7.5.
Were you originally going to do 7?
Because I think it was not quite as good as the first one, which is funny because all the critics said it was better. But I think that a lot of the, like, as an episode, but I think as a lot of the things they brought up in it were good. And, I think maybe I liked it just a smidge better than you guys for that reason.
As an episode, I didn't really care for it, but there were moments in it and there was information in it that I liked enough to bring it up to a 7.
Yep.
Well, that's it for the commentary and the episodes, but we have a few segments bringing out. And, the first segment we're going to bring you is when Andy begged me to do. I'm really excited to see what she does with this. It is called Wig Watch 2016.
Oh, yeah. Where we talk about poor Gillian Anderson's terrible wig. I'm just kidding. We're not going to just talk about the wig. But that's what we're calling about, because there's been a big thing in the X-Files about kind of the fashion and how it's progressed through the years.
Right.
And I think it's important, especially maybe over the next few episodes, there won't be as much to talk about. But at least in these first two, we have to at least address how they look. Okay?
All right.
I feel bad for poor Gillian, because she actually had to go on several interviews and explain why this had to be a wig. This poor woman has had to dye her hair back and forth so many times that her hair person told her, look, if you do this, you're going to lose your hair. Like, it's going to start to fall out. So that's the reason why they couldn't dye it again, because her hair is blonde. So they had to do a wig. Personally, I don't think it's terrible. I like a lot of people are making fun of it kind of mercilessly. But it's, you know, in certain scenes, it's not looking so great. Like, I think in the first episode, she's got her hair in like a ponytail. And it's just like, if I don't ever see her in that ponytail again, it will be fine.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
In every scene, her hair looked different. It was weird. It felt real, because it's like your hair doesn't look exactly the same all the time. Like, some days you have a good hair day. Some days you have a bad hair day. Hair not so great, but I think her outfits are quite good. She's got better tailored suits. They're very, very modern. And I liked seeing her in her scrubs. And now for Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Mulder in the first episode. Not looking so great. Little scruffy. A lot scruffy. But again, when the second episode started up again, seeing him clean shaven in his suit made me very, very happy. So I think they both look great. Both looking great.
And I'm wondering if this is what I took out of the previews. Did you notice, like, did he look younger to you in the William things? Or was that just because it was a happier, warmer light, maybe?
Overall, both of these episodes were quite better lit than all of X-Files.
Oh.
I think that in the flashbacks, both of them have makeup done a little bit, so they get a little older as the flashback goes through.
Right.
So they start off a little younger and then go a little older.
All right, now the segment, we're going to do this segment as well at the end of every edition of this podcast is going to be our crazy, wacky, weird, out there theories, and we call this segment Musings of a Podcast Host.
Love it.
All right, I'm going to start off.
Okay.
I'm going to take the lead on this one. I'm going to throw mine out there first.
Wait, is this the theory you were teasing us a couple episodes ago?
I don't think so, because I don't remember that one.
You said you had a theory about Gibson.
Ooh.
That's what
I'll have to rethink that one. Maybe I'll bring that up later.
But okay.
All right, so this one, you know what, actually... You know what, that's funny. Because I actually think the theory I was kind of thinking of for Gibson was what I'm actually doing with William here instead.
Fair enough.
I'm going to throw this out there. William is controlling the cigarette-smoking man.
Ooh. Mm.
But why?
He is behind... Why? I don't know.
That's not his responsibility.
For what purpose?
His responsibility is to the weirdest thing possible.
Nope. William is behind the cigarette-smoking man and the reopening of the X-Files to draw his parents out into the open so that he could find them and be with them again.
Well, and that makes sense because the cigarette-smoking man's real name, the actor, is William.
William.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, well, good job, Nick, but doesn't that seem a little hard, like he's going about it like a really long, contrived, hard, difficult way?
No,
he could just,
no.
Like, this is call up Skinner. But
they wanted six episodes of The X-Files, not one, so he has to make it weird and contrived.
He doesn't know about Skinner. He doesn't know the FBI. He doesn't know Mulder or Scully.
Well, how does he know Smoking Man?
I don't know, because he found him.
I'm just saying. Wait a minute.
This segment doesn't make sense if we question
exactly.
No. We're discussing his theory.
No. That doesn't work for this segment. This segment, we just got to say stuff.
Okay.
And then we just go, yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, good. Done.
Who's next?
I think I want Doggett and Reyes to show up in the fifth episode and take it over, and we won't see David Duchovny for a whole episode.
You want that to happen?
I that's my theory.
Oh, but you said you wanted it to happen. That would make me sad. Do you really think that, or are you just being silly?
No. I would love to see him come over from Scorpion for an episode. That would be amazing. I think there's a lot of that like mid-season stuff because they don't die at the end of the finale. So you're like, whoa, what's up with them?
Well, we know Reyes is back, but I've heard that Doggett isn't. So that would be a cool, cool surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to see him. Yeah.
That's what I really mean. I hope that Doggett pops up at some point.
You hope that the rumors are not true. Yes.
Sure.
I agree. Okay, well, mine's a little off the wall. Maybe a little shippy. I apologize. But I was listening to Camille. Did you listen to Camille's latest podcast, Charlie?
I listened to both the first part of his rundown, like his marathon.
When he was talking to Glenn Morgan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And we should say X-Files Files has an interview with Glenn Morgan that just came out this week. And The Nerdist has an interview with David Duchovny that was recorded right after he got his star in Hollywood.
Which I am in the middle of right now. Anyway.
You're in the middle of the star? David Duchovny's star?
No, of that Hollywood podcast. Boulevard.
That'd be really cool if you were recording live from David Duchovny's star. Like,
that's pretty impressive.
I'm in the middle of that podcast. Anyway, he mentioned something that I thought was very interesting. First of all, he wrote the episode coming up that's called Home Again, and I think it's number 4.
Yep.
And he said that it was part of a 3-part trilogy, which were all his episodes, which was Home, Never Again, and Home Again, which I think is really, really kind of cool in terms of they don't actually have any sort of plot relation to each other. They're all in Scully's story. So like in Home, we kind of find out about Scully wanting to be a mother, and then in Never Again, we kind of deal with all of her issues there. And then this one's going to be, I think, very Scully heavy, very maybe William heavy. And so thinking of that, I'm wondering if this might be the episode, this is my speculation, where we finally get to kind of see what happened to Mulder and Scully over the past several years, and maybe in flashback.
Ooh, no, I could see that.
And I'm and the reason I'm wondering this too is because we know Reyes is back. We know that I think Scully's mom is back, who I think, you know, the only organic way I can think of having them show up would be in flashback. And same even with Lone Gunman. We could see Lone Gunman in a flashback. You know, I have a feeling that maybe we will see. There's this episode of Californication. Did you guys ever watch that show?
I watched the first episode.
Okay. Well, I don't want to talk too much about this, but they did this episode where they kind of, while they were doing this present day forward plot, they kept flashing back to what was going on with these two in this relationship. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like that with Mulder and Scully. Even maybe, you know, maybe a wedding that could bring everybody together in one scene. Knock all those cameos out. I don't really see them doing a Mulder and Scully wedding. It just doesn't seem to fit with the theme. But you never know. They could do it in a cool X-Filesy way. But anyway, that's my theory. Home Again, I think, is going to deal with flashbacks of their relationship.
Well, there's a couple of things with that. They need to flashback to way before the finale if they're going to realistically use the Lone Gunman. That was the group right. That I was going to talk about in the first episode, but you said you didn't want spoilers, so I didn't bring it up.
I didn't think that was a spoiler.
No, that's okay. That's I was trying to be really nice to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So it will be interesting. They have to go far enough back to get to where they were still around.
Right.
You know?
Which they very well could. I think they could deal with how William was conceived, how Mulder and Scully first got together. I think they could go way deep.
Totally. Yeah. I love the name in that it's the combination of the two other episodes together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I got that it was Home, a reference, but I didn't think about, like, it never clicked in my mind that Never Again had the word again in it.
Right. Yeah, right, and so I didn't either. Like, when he said that, I kind of had chills. I was like, wow, like, nobody, if you didn't say this, if people weren't listening to this interview right now, this second, nobody would know that. Like, nobody would figure that out. So I thought that was really cool.
I also love the fact that he also named it that just to sort of, like, pump the fires for the Peacock family.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, just to be like, ooh, that's great. The other interesting thing that he had said in that was that at one point they were going to visit that family again in Millennium. But then Fox was like, no, we're never seeing them again.
Yeah, never seeing them again. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Good theories.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's the end of this week's episode. If you want to contact us, you can email us at xfilesdiaries@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter, X-Files Diaries. And, you know, talk to us. If you have iTunes, rate and review us, download us from iTunes, and that helps us get out there and be seen by people.
Yes, we appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually not as many X-Files podcasts as I expected there to be when I did a search for it.
I haven't checked, so good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, good. All right. Well, thank you guys. This was fun. You guys made me appreciate these two episodes. I've been up and down. I can't believe it. It's so weird. It's so
I
weird
like that you came out of this conversation liking them more rather than less.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally.
That's good.
It's gonna happen. So cool. We'll be back next week Wednesday with our commentary on the episode 3 of X-Files season 10.
It's called Mulder and Scully Meet a Were-Monster, and it's directed and written by Darren Morgan.
Yeah, excited about this one. This one looks good. So until next time, everyone, keep on believing.
I mean, don't stop.
Yeah, I was like, is that the Journey outro?
I don't know, what did I say the first time? I forgot.
I don't know what you said. Trust no one. I don't know. I don't remember what you said. It's okay. It can be different every time.
Yeah. Everything else is different every week.